and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Big, big show. David Bender joins us in a half an hour. Representative Loretta Sanchez, Representative Adam Smith, CNN anchor Don Lemon, and Ari Berman of The Nation. Check us out. Check us out.
Newly out Don Lemon.
Yeah, hello. Got to wear a hard hat if you're standing around a closet these days. Holy cow.
Well, it's so funny. We talked to him like the week before he came
and
out.
And he's not a peep to me.
I know.
Didn't mention a thing. All right. By the by, someone sent me a picture of the Chicago Theater marquee. Stephanie, also named Stephanie. Steph, thanks for coming to Chicago Theater and putting your and my name also up in lights. Look at that. Chicago Theater, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show, and Jethro Tull.
What?
Oh! I'm sharing a marquee with Jethro Tull, who's also coming at some point.
Huh.
Which is less important than the Sexy Liberal Show, just saying.
Yes.
Wow.
I really don't mind.
I mean, Jethro Tull, no. Wizard!
No.
John Huntsman's former band. But it is Jethro Tull.
Although Jethro Tull won the very first Grammy they gave out for metal music.
Yeah.
And the metal community was very, very upset.
All right.
Is this metal to you?
And nothing with flute can be considered metal, I don't think. That's my opinion. All right. So, kids, get it. Sexy Liberal tickets going fast. I believe we're approaching sellout in Chicago, so get it at the, Chicago Theater. SexyLiberal.com for all the upcoming dates and tickets. Chicago this weekend, and then Tucson is July 9th is up next. Get it. Go. Get it. Oh, also backed up by the Chicago Blues All-Stars, which are awesome in Chicago. So it's going to be a big, big show. Gay Pride weekend, Taste of Chicago. Hooray. All right. In the meantime, let's get some right-wing world. Here we go.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com. So inviting to me. Whee-hee. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning, Stephanie. I want to take an opportunity to announce that I, too, I'm officially coming out of the closet again.
Are you? Again? Awesome. You're just trying to get attention now. Did you go back in for a minute so you could come back out?
Exactly.
Yeah. Did you date a girl or something in order to go back in?
No. but I will tell anybody out there that's listening that they really need to get their tickets to Sexy Liberal because Minneapolis was a blast, and I can only imagine what the other cities are going to be like.
Oh, thank you, sweet pea. He was in Minneapolis.
That's right. And he was
sexy
signing.
And talented. The Sexy Liberal.
He was signing autographs left and right, too.
He was.
Yes.
He was mobbed.
That's awesome.
I felt like the gay unknown Beatle.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world. Steve Doocy on the Fox and the Freaks on the President.
The President needs to put away the checkbook. He was talking apparently yesterday to a number of CFOs from some big corporations, and he said, right now in the short term it sounds like we're going to wind up raising the debt limit, which we've been talking about, but then we really need to find another way to come up with some revenues, and of course that's code for we're going to have to jack up some people's taxes. The question is, whose taxes? This administration, not for that across-the-board stuff, more like one of those soak-the-successful things.
They just must have some memo about taxes, Carl, that they just read endlessly from.
Oh, it's not a memo. It's kind of like brainwashing. From a very early age, they learn to bemoan taxation. This is the only party in the world that I can think of that thinks the way out of a deficit is not to tax anybody and to just cut everything.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Rush Limbaugh, the drug addled gas bag.
Look, this is one thing Obama does know. Obama does not think that the electric car is some magical new thing that's going to save electricity. He knows the exact opposite. He knows it's going to take coal-fired electricity plants to charge up his volts. He is relying on or investing in people's stupidity or ignorance because his objective is not to save the planet. His objective is not to save the climate.
No.
All of that, those things are just vehicles. They're just launching pads, if you will, to get where he ultimately wants to go, and that is total government control over as much life in the country as possible.
What?
What?
How?
Control over life in the country. He's going to order us all to drive electric cars? Is that what?
He is on the widest slippery slope I've ever heard. I had no idea that it was the government that was secretly trying to get me to buy a Tesla or, you know, any of these other fully electric cars.
We're going to have Leafs forced on all of us.
Yeah.
Right.
Nissan Leafs.
You know, this is where the right-wing world just, you know, goes off the rails for me, Carl. Is, you know, we can all disagree on issues, but, you know, slightly this or that, emissions, yada, yada. But it's like they always go to that, this is what he wants. He wants to destroy America. He wants to... The world, and you think, really?
Complete domination.
Are there people that really think that's what he wants?
The right wing responds to that,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Of course there are. I mean, this is where crazy things come out of the Tea Party. It's because of people like Limbaugh that get them ginned up.
Yeah. No, I love, like, remember the...
I hate to use the word ginned up with Limbaugh. I mean, oxied up.
Remember the...
Yeah.
Remember they used that with the auto rescue? He wants, my friend, he wants total control of all the car companies on the way to total world dominance. And then the president said, I don't want to be in the car business. And, of course, now he's not.
Right. Unloaded them at a profit, by the way.
Yes, exactly. All right. Chris Plant, is this new?
He's new. He was a guest on Fox News.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it terrible? We're so wealthy and affluent that we have an obesity problem, mostly among our poor people, which is kind of an interesting development. Listen, this is about the government trying to protect us from our own freedoms, the government trying to protect us from our own liberties. I understand that we have an obesity problem, and if the government wants to make suggestions, that's fine.
That's all.
But every good idea does not a good law make. Liberals in America and the government have become the people that George Orwell and Kurt Vonnegut warned us about.
Oh, here we go again. There's a theme.
But Michelle Obama is only making suggestions. She can't pass laws.
Well, apparently you haven't heard that the president and the first lady are dictators.
What's that?
A long time.
Yeah. And how come this is different when there's Republican first ladies? Just say no. A suggestion.
Right.
Maybe. You might want to just say no to drugs.
Laura
Bush, you might want to read.
Read a book.
Yes, read a book. And it's like, now Michelle Obama says you might want to move.
Yeah, obesity, eat a broccoli.
Obesity, kind of a problem. And it's somehow that's a total, you know, total world domination. Right, Carl?
And why are the wealthy people with personal chefs and personal trainers all the skinny people?
All right. Glenn Beck on the radio.
First they came for the captain and I said nothing. Then they came for the clown, and I said nothing. Now they're coming for the tiger. Obama's food police are now focusing their efforts on Tony the Tiger.
Mm. Now they're gone.
Is this the way we fix America? Is this what our problem is? Seriously? Yeah. Remember, at first suggest. If suggesting won't work, you nudge. If nudging won't work, you shove. If shoving doesn't work, you take Tony the Tiger out back, and you shoot him in the head, in the head.
Wow.
Wow. They're shooting Tony the Tiger in the head. Oh, Carl. First they came for the captain.
You know.
That's great.
What I don't understand is that, you know, these guys would rather have such little regulations on our food that, like, the marketing campaign for something like Frosted Flakes would say stuff like, Frosted Flakes, now with less glass.
Yeah.
All right. David Asman.
Yeah, Asman.
Sure. Bad enough, Fox.
Is that who you are? What you do?
Uh-huh.
Well, our next guest has a very different view of same-sex marriage and thinks it could actually benefit our society and our economy. Wouldn't it require certain benefits to be offered that are not offered now? I mean, there are individuals who are not covered by current health plans, for example, that would be covered after the Gay Marriage Act.
Huh? Wait a minute.
He's complaining that more people would be covered by health insurance if marriage equality passes in New York.
So that'd be bad?
My favorite arguments against gay marriage and gay equality typically come from right-wingers who are afraid to make the religious argument.
Yeah.
So they start saying things like, it's really expensive. It's like, oh, I understand. So civil rights that cost a company more money because they're treating their employees equally, that's one step too far.
Yeah, that's a little too much. It's a little too much.
Yeah. I would give you marriage if not for letting you have all the rights and privileges that come with it.
Yeah, I love that. It's apparently, you know, equality, civil rights is bad, and more people having health insurance, also bad.
Yeah.
Bad. Yeah. Can I make a Carl A. Stephanie Miller Show disclaimer?
Uh-oh.
Hi, David Asman. Well, you know this. I've said this before.
Yeah.
His sister's one of my best friends. I lived next door to her when I lived in New York last. And I've had Christmas with David Assman and his parents, who are delightful.
Did you call him David Assman?
No,
to his
I didn't.
Face?
I only do that in the cowardice of my own radio studio.
Now, would he eat from the same gravy boat as you?
Yeah,
I'm sure, like all right-wingers, when you meet him in person, he was delightful.
Yeah, Ann Coulter was actually nice to me at the radio convention. I was like, all right. Oh, look, there she is.
What?
Ann Coulter in Right-Wing World. Yeah. You know, someone took a picture of us. She is large. I'm just saying.
Who, Ann Coulter?
She's
skinny.
Well, I know, but she just, you'll
but
see.
But she's also like 9 bushels tall.
Yes.
9 bushels tall.
It did remind me a little bit. Remember the Shelley Wright film premiere I went to?
Yeah.
Guess who was there? RuPaul. She looks a little like RuPaul. She looks like a white RuPaul in the picture. With
Does
me.
She
you'll
have
see.
Man hands?
Yes. She's very large, is all
it's
I'm saying.
Blonde Republican realness, honey.
Wow.
All right.
And Carl, you used to travel in those circles.
Yes.
By the way, RuPaul, can I just say, funniest line ever on my disastrous late night show?
What?
When he first came out, I said, what are those made of? His breasts. And he said, Egg McMuffins, who's hungry? I'm just saying, it was a great line.
Wow.
Maybe Ann Coulter's are, too. Who knows? All right, here she is.
You don't want regime change in a place like Afghanistan. They have more goats than flush toilets. Unlike most Muslim countries, Afghanistan has never exported terrorism. They just want to be left alone. They're perfectly happy being poor, ignorant, and having a 30-year lifespan. They just don't like foreigners in their country. That is not a good country for regime change. You know what's a great country for regime change? Iraq is. Iran is.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you decode that for me?
Yes.
What is she saying about Afghanistan?
Afghanistan is not a good place for regime change.
Oh, so we should just prop Karzai up forever.
That we should go into Iran is what she said.
Yes.
I see. Oh, I see. She's itching for another wargasm. Is that it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okie dokie.
And also, neglect to note that terrorism does come out of Afghanistan.
Yep.
It's where 9/11 was plotted.
Yep.
And it's also where heroin comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Carl.
Although, heroin does make you skinny, so I don't know.
Well, there you go. Maybe that's why she's excited for us to get out of Afghanistan.
The Stephanie Miller Show has no information as to whether Ann Coulter is on
heroin. She throws out baseless accusations. Why can't we?
Maybe Ann Coulter's on heroin. All right, Carl Frisch. Who can say? I'm just asking a question. Hello, Carl Frisch. Thank you so much. We will see you next week.
Have a good week.
All right, bye, honey.
Yay.
There he goes. 18 minutes. Rebecca Taylor is stuck in a what? A sig alert?
A sig alert.
I still don't know what that is, and I've lived in Los Angeles 1,000 years.
The entire 5-lane freeway that she drives to work on is shut down.
Is that her excuse? Okay, whatever.
So
they're shutting the 405 soon, for a couple of days. They're calling it Carmageddon.
I don't go anywhere near the 405, so
I don't
care.
I don't leave my house. Yeah. No one invites me anywhere, so I'm good. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie. Stephanie.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Precious in Detroit. Hey, Precious.
Hi, Mama.
Hello.
I apologize.
We're one mook down for a few minutes.
All right. I want to call out Ann Coulter because she was supposed to make an appearance on a local progressive show here in Detroit. Can I say the name of the show?
No.
Okay.
No, you go ahead. I'm just kidding.
The name of the show is First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
He's awesome. Yeah.
Yes, he is. She was supposed to make an appearance on the show this morning. She calls at the last minute, leaves a voicemail. At the last minute to call. So I'm really confused by that. If you're so stuck on your ideas and your new book, how come you couldn't debate it?
Because apparently she's not man enough. What? All right. They made her giggle. With a really immature little joke. Okay. All right. So the president announced...
Yep.
How do you know what I was going to say? Because
what else
we complete each other's sentences.
She's here. Rebecca's here.
Oh, Rebecca made it. Sig alert's always a good excuse you can use in L.A., right?
Oh, yeah, sure. But I was actually doing H with Coltergeist.
Sorry. She was doing a little H, ladies and gentlemen. That's an unsubstantiated rumor. You can't believe anything Rebecca says. She's notoriously untrustworthy.
don't they call that chasing the dragon?
Apparently.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't know.
Doing H.
What?
Doing H is chasing the dragon.
Sure. Yes. Okay. President Obama announced a... you're not going to complete my sentence.
I know what he announced.
He will order the withdrawal of 10,000 American troops from Afghanistan this year and another 20,000 the remainder of the surge by the end of next summer, which is what he said he was going to do. And this is, I think I was just hearing Bill Press talk about this, is it's obviously not what Petraeus wants. It's a faster drawdown. And here we go again, not fast enough for liberals, which I get. I mean, trust me, I wish we could just get out of there entirely.
We're all war weary.
Yeah, and I saw Kucinich on TV. He's like, all of them out now.
Well, that's impractical.
Yeah. These troop reductions are both deeper and faster than the recommendations made by his military commanders. So this is a lot more than Petraeus wanted. And then obviously, like I say, the left, not as much. Mr. Obama's decision, a victory for Joe Biden, who I have said a long time, I've said for a while, sounded correct to me about curtailing military engagement in favor of the, counterterrorism, strikes, the special ops, things like that, bin Laden.
Right.
In announcing withdrawals, which represent about 30% of the current American troop strength, he will fulfill the pledge from, December 2009. The speed and scope of the plan, according to New York Times, is striking. It amounts to a broad rethinking of the military's troop-intensive counterinsurgency strategy. Officials have indicated the administration now plans to place more emphasis on the focused counterterrorism operations. As I was saying, like the one that killed bin Laden, about 68,000 American troops would still be left in Afghanistan, though, after the withdrawals.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta say, that sounds like a lot to me. Still sounds like, president last night.
Starting next month, we will be able to remove 10,000 of our troops from Afghanistan by the end of this year. And we will bring home a total of 33,000 troops by next summer, fully recovering the surge I announced at West Point. After this initial reduction, our troops will continue coming home at a steady pace as Afghan security forces move into the lead. Our mission will change from combat to support. By 2014, this process of transition will be complete.
Stephanie Miller.
Noted Obama apologist, yes. As I'm called. I tend to give the president the benefit of the doubt. I have to say, Afghanistan stimulus, I was just reading a Paul Krugman piece, the same thing we've been talking about. I have to say, this is another one of the president. He's a centrist. He's always been a centrist. He ran as a centrist, splitting, the difference, going down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure I agree with it totally on Afghanistan. And there's a great piece we'll get to with Paul Krugman on the stimulus, on how, it's a political calculation, and I get it, that it would have been tougher to get a bigger stimulus through, and we're up against this solid wall of obstructionism. But the problem is where we're at now, economically. This is the problem sometimes with half measures, I think, on some issues.
Wow!
I'm an Obama basher now.
You are!
29 minutes after the hour.
What does David Bender think about that?
Well, we'll ask. We'll return to Bender next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Get home last night.
Don't know. It's kind of blurry.
Good Lord, you smell like a brewery.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. David in Washington is taking up my Obama apologist mantle. Hello, David.
Before I get to my point, were you guys able to stomach the Rumsfeld interview on Charlie Rose the other night?
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh, it was horrid. But anyway,
it was a known unknown that I didn't know that it was on, so I apologize.
Well, President Obama probably would have withdrawn more troops had Bush and Cheney not diverted all the resources and attention into Iraq.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Love you guys.
Okay, love you too. Aldous and Madison real quick. Hello, Aldous.
Hey, we need to be careful here, and I hate to do this with Obama because I love the guy, but we need to be careful. He did not say all troops out by the end of 2014. He said that the transition to a support phase would be complete at that point.
So he's
hedging his bets and allowing for troops to still be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing, is it's still – he's basically drawing down the surge. So then, like I said, what was it, 78, did I say? 78,000 still there.
And then all combat troops will be out by 2014, and we'll just have a support role. But we still have troops in Germany. We still have troops, overseas. So,
I'm a last minute packer. Like, I'll pack, like, 2 minutes to, you know, when the car comes tomorrow for Chicago. So, I'm, you know, so apparently it takes a little bit of stuff to get all the things out of a war zone.
A little bit.
I don't know. I leave on, like, a minute's notice.
Tanks are heavy.
Yeah, apparently. You can't just get out, like, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't go in the overhead tanks.
No, they don't.
Okay. It's time to return. Let's go.
Neither do guns.
David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay, David Bender.
Yay, David Bender. That's what I always say. Yay. Hi, David Bender.
Let's start off with, I am the official Jethro Tull fan of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, thank you. Well, we have to have one.
Thank you. Thank you. I share a marquee with Jethro Tull in Chicago.
Yes, I know you do. I know you do. And that is quite a high honor. And Chris, when has a flute not been a metal instrument? Okay? It's made of metal.
Oh.
It's a metal instrument.
It's not heavy metal, though.
It's a metal instrument.
Yeah. It's not very heavy.
A little slack, okay?
I can't give Jethro Tull slack.
Stay on in Chicago. Go see the show. Now, listen.
Yes.
I am with you. We are actually two peas in the same pod. I love this president. I respect this president. He has not gone far enough. And what happened yesterday was a great disappointment. And I don't know if you saw it, but Nancy Pelosi, actually, her immediate statement afterwards was, the Democrats in the Congress want this to be faster.
Right.
And we hoped for more, and we are going to press for more.
Right.
And politically, here's where we are right now. Politically, the president is representing the John McCain wing of the Republican Party.
Well, unanimously,
Democrats want a much speedier withdrawal. Almost unanimously across the board in the House
and
the Senate.
And politically, David, because that's what you always speak to is the political strategy of it. Here's the thing where I guess my question is, does he have to split the difference like this, go down the middle on this kind of issue when huge majorities of the American people want a faster withdrawal?
No, he does not. And that's what's disappointing here, because this is that moment. Look, Howard Dean had supported, and you know I worked with Howard Dean. I watched Howard Dean early on buck his party and buck the national political will. 70% of the American people supported the war in Iraq when Howard Dean in 2003 came out against it.
Yep.
The polls were 70-30 in favor of the war. The Democratic leadership was in favor of the war. And Howard Dean came out to the Democratic National Committee and said, I want to know why the leadership of my party is supporting this war. It's wrong. And at the same time, Barack Obama, as a state senator, was saying, you know, I don't oppose all wars, but I oppose dumb wars. And he referred to Iraq that way. This is a dumb war. No one has ever won a war. Ask the Soviets if you can win in Afghanistan militarily. The answer is obvious. And the only ones remaining who support that idea are arch right wing Republicans like Ann Coulter, who I was doing H with earlier this morning.
Yes.
And in fact, these are the people who want more wars. They want us to go into Iran. They love the war machine because it is profitable to continue.
Right, but how do they keep screaming about the deficit when, you know, clearly getting out of these wars would be a huge chunk of that?
Well, do you know what happened yesterday? Yesterday, the U.S. Conference of Mayors, for the first time in 40 years, Stephanie, the U.S. Conference of Mayors doesn't normally involve itself in foreign policy. 40 years ago, the U.S. Conference of Mayors passed a resolution telling Richard Nixon it was time to get out of Vietnam. This is the first time they've taken a foreign policy position since, and they said, we can't afford this. Our cities are going underwater here, literally and figuratively, if you're New Orleans, and we have no resources. We have spent, by some accounts, $1 trillion on this war.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just unmanageable, leaving aside whether or not it is effective, whether it's working.
Right.
So Howard Dean, again, who had supported the war in Afghanistan from the beginning, even under George Bush, has now come out against it.
Yeah.
This, a few weeks ago, made the public statement saying, I respect and admire this president. This is wrong. This war has to end. It has to end now. And what we're going to see is there are going to be votes in Congress. It's going to be really interesting. If we're talking about the politics of this, there are going to be votes in the House and in the Senate that may try and defund the military appropriations bill, defund this war a lot more quickly than Obama is willing to do it, and it's going to get unanimous Democratic support and some Republican support.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
six House Republicans voted to end this war in the last vote, and that number.
Well, and here's the irony of it is, you know, the problem is, you know, this president at least was honest and put these wars on the books, and so now Republicans go, look at this deficit that you caused.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So this is the problem. I mean, I was talking about the Krugman piece, and I wanted to get your take on it. He says, you know, I shoulda, coulda, woulda is the name of his piece. He said, I think it is the Obama administration paid too much attention to the short-run political risks of taking unpopular positions versus the medium-run political risk was having a lousy economy. He has, you know, always argued for a bigger stimulus. And, I mean, isn't that kind of true? Is that, you know, now he's stuck with this economy. And if you look at the new polls, of course, you know, the president is paying for it politically.
And they demonized it. They turned it into government control, all that stuff that you know use with right-wing world rhetoric where they say it's the government's intrusion in your life. These are jobs. If you see where job growth has been in the census, you see it in places that have government jobs. That's how we got out of the depression.
Right.
It actually works. It is
right.
Not
so, I mean,
noble to have a government job.
Yeah. I mean, that's, like I say, the two areas I would argue for him being bolder is, you know, if and maybe he couldn't have gotten a bigger stimulus through, but you know what I'm saying? I think Paul Krugman was saying it would have been worth the risk to have a better economy.
I think Krugman's exactly right. I will tell you what I think happened politically, and it is a sad commentary on how broken our political system is when you have to make these choices. But both with Afghanistan and the troop surge a year ago, and not going back for another stimulus, given the politics, the president had decided to spend all of his political capital, even if it made him a one-term president, to get health care.
Right.
He didn't get the health care that all of us wanted, but he got that door open.
Right.
And again, if we go back in history, Social Security, when it started, was for widows and orphans. Medicare, when it started, was a small program. This health care program is not, it doesn't have a public option. It isn't everything it can and should be, but it has happened now for the first time in 60 years. There is health care.
Right.
He was willing to trade that. Had he taken all of those positions, had he done what we would hope he would do on Afghanistan or on more stimulus, maybe none of them would have passed. That was the calculation.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Made.
No, and I,
government.
I'm sympathetic to that. Well, you know, here's another issue. As you know, he's going to hold a fundraiser in New York City tonight for gay supporters.
Yes,
and of course, the CNN story, CNN.com, is Obama ready to support gay marriage? And you know, here we go again, David. Is he going to choose the middle path, or is he going to take the bold action? And actually, I mean, because you look at last week's Republican debate. This is, you know, the CNN piece, and of course, you know, obviously he's made more progress on gay rights than any president in our history, as opposed to all these Republican candidates who, you know, are threatening to undo everything he's done and support writing, you know, anti-gay discrimination
right
into the Constitution. So, of course, you go, you know, right away, Obama went, but you go, is that going to be enough for the gay community if he does not support marriage equality?
Well, apparently a lot of people are because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because of quietly, you know, some of the federal government things that he can do quietly about federal workers having hospital visitation, VA stuff, things that he has done, he has been working. Is he prepared to make that sweeping statement? He is saying the same thing that John Huntsman, who worked for him, is saying, that this is a state issue and he will respect any state that makes this decision. Politically, that's probably what we're going to see through 2012 until the reelection campaign is over, because it just becomes too much of a lightning rod.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Perry, on the other hand, in order to prove that he is not gay, is going to be the most, if he gets into the race, the most vehemently anti-gay candidate. You know, maybe
which one?
Close second is Rick Perry.
Oh, Rick Perry. Yeah, yeah.
Rick Perry and Michelle Bachmann are going to run as the absolute anti-gay candidates for the Republican nomination, and both of them are going to get a huge amount of traction in the Republican Party. That's where the votes are.
But politically, you know what I'm saying is politically, would it make, that's what I'm saying is, would it be better to have the contrast be wider for him to, I mean, he obviously has already said he's evolving on game, you know, on marriage equality. So you don't think there's any chance that he will actually go, you know, this is.
I think it's less than likely we're going to see something very interesting. It looks like the vote is going to be today in New York. The legislative session in New York was supposed to end on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
They kept the legislature there. They worked late last night. They passed an energy bill. They're dealing with the tuition for state universities. They've got a huge fiscal problem, as they do in all states in New York. But this is Andrew Cuomo has made it an absolute priority. And interestingly, Andrew Cuomo wants to be president someday, and he is banking on the fact that this is politically the future. This is the smart.
Well, it is. If you look there is majority support, you know, nationwide for marriage equality. So that's what I'm arguing at this point. That I think Obama, if he were bolder on both Afghanistan and marriage equality, that's where that's also the smart thing politically, I think.
And you're absolutely right about what the polls show, Steph, but it depends on who constitutes the electorate. And in 2010, the people we saw go to the polls that put Republicans back in control of the House of Representatives were so conservative that it didn't reflect where the electorate at large. Our people stayed home. So the real question is who turns out in 2012. Will it be people? Are people passionate about gay rights? No. At this point, our side is and their side is. The question is, what are the numbers? And that's what we're going to find out. But that's where the calculation is, what's going to motivate people. And the answer is the economy.
Yeah, I think my point is, and before I let you go, is that I think that on so many issues, I think a lot of us on this side, we get frustrated with what feels like the timidity of Democrats because you go, they're with us on each and every issue. 70% of the American people hate Paul Ryan's plan to get more tax cuts for the rich and restore Medicare.
They
70-something percent want us to get out of Afghanistan. 70-something percent were for overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They're with us on the issues. You know what I mean? It's just so
What you said a minute ago is exactly right. If people were paying attention to Barack Obama during the campaign, not only did he run as a centrist politically, that's who he is temperamentally. He is not a man. He is a thoughtful, deliberative guy. He is not John Kennedy or Ronald Reagan. He is not a bold figure. He gives bold speeches, but he governs very quietly.
Which is where they always say elections are won, in the middle. I mean, I suppose that's what I mean. It's just when you talk about what's smart politically. I mean, just quickly before you go, honey, what's going to happen on the? Can you hold through the break and talk to us a little bit about 2000? All right, because I want to talk about. I mean, this is going to be the issue with the Republican side. I mean, John Huntsman he's supposed to be the moderate middle. Can they win? Can he actually win the primary? You know, they say that's where elections are won, but
I don't think he can win the primary. He's too closely aligned with President Obama.
Really?
Yes.
He's not much of a wizard. That's his band. We just love that. Oh. Wizard. 48. He was in a band.
Called.
Yeah. Wizard. 48 minutes after the hour, right back with David Bender and your calls on Afghanistan as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Did you and
Stephanie Miller
get home last night?
Don't know. Kind of blurry.
Good Lord, you smell like a brewery.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. David in Washington is taking up my Obama apologist mantle. Hello, David.
Before I get to my point, were you guys able to stomach the Rumsfeld interview on Charlie Rose the other night?
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh, it was horrid. But anyway,
it was a known unknown that I didn't know that it was on,
boy.
So I apologize.
Well, you know, President Obama probably would have withdrawn more troops had Bush and Cheney not diverted all the resources and attention into Iraq.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Love you guys.
Love you too. Aldous and Madison real quick. Hello, Aldous.
Hey, we need to be careful here, and I hate to do this with Obama because I love the guy, but we need to be careful. He did not say all troops out by the end of 2014. He said that the transition to a support phase would be complete at that point.
Right.
So
right.
He's hedging his bets and allowing for troops to still be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing is it's still he's basically drawing down the surge. So then, like I said, what was it, 78, did I say? 78,000 still there.
And then all combat troops would be out by 2014, and we'll just have a support role. You know, but we honestly, we still have troops in Germany. We still have troops, you know, overseas. So,
you know me. I'm a last minute packer. Like, yes. I'll pack like 2 minutes to, you know, when the car comes tomorrow for Chicago. So I'm, you know, so apparently it takes a little bit of stuff to get all the things out of a war zone.
A little bit.
I don't know. I leave on like a minute's notice.
Tanks are heavy.
Yeah, apparently. You can't just get out like tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't go in the overhead tanks.
No,
okay.
Don't.
It's time to return. Let's go.
Neither do guns.
David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
David Bender.
It means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay, David Bender.
Yay, David Bender. That's what I always say. Yay. Hi, David Bender.
Let's start off with, I am the official Jethro Tull fan of the Stephanie
Miller
Show.
Oh, thank you. Well, we have
thank
to have
you,
one.
Thank you. Thank you. I share a marquee with Jethro Tull in Chicago.
I know you do. I know you do. And that is quite a high honor. And Chris, when has a flute not been a metal instrument? Okay? It's made of metal.
Oh.
It's a metal instrument.
It's not heavy metal, though.
It's a metal instrument.
Yeah. It's not very heavy.
A little slack, okay?
I can't give Jethro Tull slack.
Stay on in Chicago. Go see the show. Now, listen.
Yes.
I am with you. We are actually two peas in the same pod. I love this president. I respect this president. He has not gone far enough. And what happened yesterday was a great disappointment. And I don't know if you saw it, but Nancy Pelosi, actually, her immediate statement afterwards was, the Democrats in the Congress want this to be faster.
Right.
And we hoped for more, and we are going to press for more.
Right.
And politically, here's where we are right now. Politically, the president is representing the John McCain wing of the Republican Party.
Well,
unanimously, Democrats want a much speedier withdrawal, almost unanimously across the board in the House
and
Senate. Well,
and politically, David, because that's what you always speak to is the, you know, the political strategy of it. Here's the thing where I guess my question is, does he have to split the difference like this, go down the middle on this kind of issue when huge majorities of the American people want a faster withdrawal?
No, he does not. And that's what's disappointing here, because this is that moment. Look, Howard Dean had supported, and you know I worked with Howard Dean. I watched Howard Dean early on buck his party and buck the national political will. 70% of the American people supported the war in Iraq when Howard Dean in 2003 came out against it.
Yep.
The polls were 70-30 in favor of the war. The Democratic leadership was in favor of the war. And Howard Dean came out to the Democratic National Committee and said, I want to know why the leadership of my party is supporting this war. It's wrong. And at the same time, Barack Obama, as a state senator, was saying, you know, I don't oppose all wars, but I oppose dumb wars. And he referred to Iraq that way. This is a dumb war. No one has ever won a war. Ask the Soviets if you can win in Afghanistan militarily. The answer is obvious. And the only ones remaining who support that idea are arch right wing Republicans like Ann Coulter, who I was doing H with earlier this morning.
Yes.
And in fact, these are the people who want more wars. They want us to go into Iran. They love the war machine because it is profitable to continue.
Right, but how do they keep screaming about the deficit when, you know, clearly getting out of these wars would be a huge chunk of that?
Well, do you know what happened yesterday? Yesterday, the U.S. Conference of Mayors, for the first time in 40 years, Stephanie, the U.S. Conference of Mayors doesn't normally involve itself in foreign policy. 40 years ago, the U.S. Conference of Mayors passed a resolution telling Richard Nixon it was time to get out of Vietnam. This is the first time they've taken a foreign policy position since, and they said, we can't afford this. Our cities are going underwater here, literally and figuratively, if you're New Orleans, and we have no resources. We have spent, by some accounts, $1 trillion on this war.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just unmanageable, leaving aside whether or not it is effective, whether it's working.
Right.
So Howard Dean, again, who had supported the war in Afghanistan from the beginning, even under George Bush, has now come out against it.
Yeah.
This, a few weeks ago, made the public statement saying, I respect and admire this president. This is wrong. This war has to end. It has to end now. And what we're going to see
is there are going to be votes in Congress. It's going to be really interesting. If we're talking about the politics of this, there are going to be votes in the House and in the Senate that may try and defund the military appropriations bill, defund this war a lot more quickly than Obama is willing to do it, and it's going to get unanimous Democratic support and some Republican support.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
26 House Republicans voted to end this war in the last vote, and that number keeps
increasing. Well, and here's the irony of it is, you know, the problem is, you know, this president at least was honest and put these wars on the books, and so now Republicans go, look at this deficit that you caused.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So this is the problem. I mean, I was talking about the Krugman piece, and I wanted to get your take on it. He says, you know, shoulda, coulda, woulda is the name of his piece. He said, I think it is the Obama administration paid too much attention to the short-run political risks of taking unpopular positions versus the medium-run political risks of having a lousy economy. He has, you know, always argued for a bigger stimulus. And, I mean,
yep.
Isn't that kind of true? Is that, you know, now he's stuck
true.
With this economy. And if you look at the new polls, of course, you know, the president is paying for it politically.
And they demonized it. They turned it into government control, all that stuff that you know use with right-wing world rhetoric where they say it's the government's intrusion in your life. These are jobs. If you see where job growth has been in the census, you see it in places that have government jobs. That's how we cut out of the depression.
Right.
It actually works. It is
right.
Not
so, I mean,
noble to have a government job.
Yeah. I mean, that's, like I say, the two areas I would argue for him being bolder is, you know, if and maybe he couldn't have gotten a bigger stimulus through, but you know what I'm saying? I think Paul Krugman was saying it would have been worth the risk to have a better economy.
I think Krugman's exactly right. I will tell you what I think happened politically, and it is a sad commentary on how broken our political system is when you have to make these choices. But both with Afghanistan and the troop surge a year ago, and not going back for another stimulus, given the politics, the president had decided to spend all of his political capital, even if it made him a one-term president, to get health care.
Right.
He didn't get the health care that all of us wanted, but he got that door open.
Right.
And again, if we go back in history, Social Security, when it started, was for widows and orphans. Medicare, when it started, was a small program. This health care program is not, it doesn't have a public option. It isn't everything it can and should be, but it has happened now for the first time in 60 years. There is health care.
Right.
And he was willing to trade that. Had he taken all of those positions, had he done what we would hope he would do on Afghanistan or on more stimulus, maybe none of them would have passed. That was the calculation.
Yeah,
that
yeah. No, and I,
government.
I'm sympathetic to that. Well, you know, here's another issue. As you know, he's going to hold a fundraiser in New York City tonight for gay supporters.
Yes,
and, of course, the CNN story, CNN.com, is Obama ready to support gay marriage? And, you know, here we go again, David. Is he going to choose the middle path, or is he going to take bold action? And actually, I mean, because you look at last week's Republican debate. This is, you know, the CNN piece. And, of course, you know, obviously he's made more progress on gay rights than any president in our history, as opposed to all these Republican candidates who, you know, are threatening to undo everything he's done and support writing, you know, anti-gay discrimination
right.
into the Constitution. So, of course, you go, you know, right away, Obama went, but you go, is that going to be enough for the gay community if he does not support marriage equality?
Well, apparently a lot of people are because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because of quietly, you know, some of the federal government things that he can do quietly about federal workers having hospital visitation, VA stuff, things that he has done, he has been working. Is he prepared to make that sweeping statement? He is saying the same thing that John Huntsman, who worked for him, is saying, that this is a state issue and he will respect any state that makes this decision. Politically, that's probably what we're going to see through 2012 until the reelection campaign is over, because it just becomes too much of a lightning rod.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Perry, on the other hand, in order to prove that he is not gay, is going to be the most, if he gets into the race, the most vehemently anti-gay candidate. You know, maybe
which
the
one?
Close second is Rick Perry.
Oh, Rick Perry, yeah, yeah.
Rick Perry and Michelle Bachmann are going to run as the absolute anti-gay candidates for the Republican nomination, and both of them are going to get a huge amount of traction in the Republican Party.
That's where the votes are.
But politically, you know what I'm saying is politically, would it make, that's what I'm saying is, would it be better to have the contrast be wider for him to, I mean, he obviously has already said he's evolving on game, you know, on marriage equality. So you don't think there's any chance that he will actually go, you know, this is.
I think it's less than likely we're going to see something very interesting. It looks like the vote is going to be today in New York. The legislative session in New York was supposed to end on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
They kept the legislature there. They worked late last night. They passed an energy bill. They're dealing with the tuition for state universities. They've got a huge fiscal problem in, as they do in all states in New York. But this is, Andrew Cuomo has made it an absolute priority. And interestingly, Andrew Cuomo wants to be president someday, and he is banking on the fact that this is politically the future. This is the smart.
Well, it is. If you look there is majority support, you know, nationwide for marriage equality. So that's what I'm arguing at this point, that I think Obama, if he were bolder on both Afghanistan and marriage equality, that's where that's also the smart thing politically, I think.
And you're absolutely right about what the polls show, Steph, but it depends on who constitutes the electorate. And in 2010, the people we saw go to the polls to put Republicans back in control of the House of Representatives were so conservative that it didn't reflect where the electorate at large. Our people stayed home. So the real question is who turns out in 2012. Will it be people? Are people passionate about gay rights? No. At this point, our side is and their side
right.
is. The question is, what are the numbers? And that's what we're going to find out. But that's where the calculation is, what's going to motivate people. And the answer is the economy.
Yeah, I think my point is, and before I let you go, is that I think that on so many issues, I think a lot of us on this side, we get frustrated with what feels like the timidity of Democrats, because you go, they're with us on each and every issue. 70% of the American people hate Paul Ryan's plan to get more tax cuts for the rich and destroy Medicare.
They
70-something percent want us to get out of Afghanistan. 70-something percent were for overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They're with us on the issues. You know? It's just so you
what
get...
What you said a minute ago is exactly right. If people were paying attention to Barack Obama during the campaign, not only did he run as a centrist politically, that's who he is temperamentally. He is not a man. He is a thoughtful, deliberative guy. He is not John Kennedy or Ronald Reagan. He is not a bold figure. He gives bold speeches, but he governs very quietly, very well.
Which is where they always say elections are won, in the middle. I mean, I suppose that's what I mean. It's just when you talk about what's smart politically. I mean, just quickly before you go, honey, what's going to happen on the? Well, you know what? Can you hold through the break and talk to us a little bit about 2000? All right, because I want to talk about. I mean, this is going to be the issue with the Republican side. I mean, John Huntsman is he's supposed to be the moderate middle. Can they win? Can he actually win the primary? You know, they say that's where elections are won, but...
I don't think he can win the primary. He's too closely aligned with President Obama.
Really?
Yes.
He's not much of a wizard! That's his band. We just love that. Oh. Wizard! 48... He was in a band.
Called.
Yeah. Wizard! 48 minutes after the hour, right back with David Bender and your calls on Afghanistan as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Bum, 53 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Representative Loretta Sanchez joins us at the top of the hour. David Bender has returned.
Bender. Returning to the return.
Because you know why? Because he's bendy and flexible.
Can I say one thing, though? Because we haven't talked on the air since we saw Shelley Wright's movie on Monday night.
Oh, so amazing.
And boy,
is that amazing. Wish Me Away. It is one of the most impressive documentary films I've ever seen in my life.
Yep. It's wishmeawaydoc.com, I believe. You can find out about upcoming screens. There's a couple in L.A. this weekend still at the L.A. Film Festival.
Right.
But it's powerful. It's amazing.
This weekend at the San Francisco Film Festival as well.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
see it.
Anytime, any place you can see this movie, I hope you will. I hope people will, because it really, it's life-changing. It is so affirming, and it talks about the rest of the country, where the rest of the country is on some of the things that we talk about here. And that's what makes it so powerful, because it really is about American values. She
I mean, it's to me, the film is really more about family and love than it is necessarily about being gay or not. I mean, it's just, it's powerful. Anyway, so Sweetness, talk to me about John Huntsman, who was used to be in Wizard, the band.
Yes, exactly. In his announcement, he said he used to wear skinny jeans and he had, what is it, Rod Stewart hair?
Rod Stewart hair.
Which, frankly, is not something I'd ever want to admit to.
No.
If you're Rod Stewart.
Here's
the short version of this. John Huntsman is a credible candidate if he wins the nomination. He doesn't have a prayer of winning the nomination, but he could win a general election. Same is probably true for Mitt Romney, who has overwhelming Republican support right now until they take him apart. In the early run-up, there are two wings to the Republican Party right now. There is the establishment wing, which would be a Romney or a Huntsman, and there's everybody else, the Tea Parties, the social conservatives. These people want somebody else, and that person is either going to be Michelle Bachmann.
I just was going to say, Matt Taibbi has a hilarious and terrifying piece in Rolling Stone about Michelle Bachmann and how the one thing we shouldn't do is laugh because she could, and you go,
laugh. She is not funny.
Oh, I mean, she's complete. And by the way, he used the term bat. Thank you, Matt. I know you listen. she is totally bat crazy, but
Matt Taibbi is the Hunter Thompson of our modern era. And, and he's got it exactly right. She is crazy. Hunter Thompson used to say, when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. And she is professionally weird, but she is smart. She's smart enough. Yeah. I mean, I'm not talking about history smart or economically smart or politically smart.
Yeah, and intelligent.
She's wily.
Yes.
She's wily, E. Coyote.
Yes.
She understands what it takes to win. She looked moderate on that stage with the other people. She's very good on camera. And unlike Sarah Palin and Newt Gingrich, who can't keep advisors, who can't keep political people, she has hired a very strong team. Evan Rollins.
And she has no,
in Iowa.
As Matt Taibbi says, just no self-doubt at all, and just is a chronic, habitual, terrifying liar. That is so committed to her lies. She's so.
What does that sound like to you? What does that sound like to you? That is a description of George W. Bush.
I know. Exactly. All right. Bendy, we love you madly. I'm going to get in some Afghanistan calls.
See you soon.
All right, honey. Love you.
I've got to go back with Ann Coulter. She's missing me.
Bring the H. All right. Bye bye. There gets to be a little joke, a little running theme.
Yes. I would like to issue an apology.
Oh, the Stephanie Miller Show wishes to apologize for?
I called doing heroin chasing the dragon.
Yes.
Apparently that's smoking heroin, not injecting heroin. So Chris regrets the error.
We apologize. We don't know which way Ann Coulter does it, allegedly. Okay, let's let's go to Eric in Harlem on Afghanistan. Hey, Eric. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, listen, I love David, but I had to disagree with him on a couple of things.
Okay.
Number one, we don't know the intelligence that the president is dealing with. And so it's easy for us to do the armchair quarterback and say that he needs to take out. We already agreed that he went against advisement of Petraeus and them about how many to bring out. So he's bringing out more than was advised.
Yes.
And we need to remember also we was entangled in Afghanistan because we didn't send all of our troops into Afghanistan, and we would have been out years ago.
Right. I mean, Eric, I don't have the president's intel. So as you know, I always give him the benefit of the doubt, but I guess my question is, if, you know, there is so few al-Qaeda left in there and we can take them out like we did bin Laden, why do we need that big a troop presence still?
Because we got to remember also, we didn't, even with the surge, you know, we didn't make Afghanistan a priority in 2002, 2003. And because of that, we've been, like, rummaging around in there. You know, Al-Qaeda has been deeply rooted between Pakistan and Afghanistan.
Yep. All right. Fair enough. Out of time here. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Republicans, you can kill Medicare and beat the rap with BritishPoliceUniformsLA.com. After all, when grannies push down the stairs, no one says, the Bobby did it.
If you'd like to sponsor an hour of the Stephanie Miller Show and make us say anything you want, go to stephaniemiller.com. Go to sexyliberal.com for upcoming Sexy Liberal shows like the big one this Saturday in Chicago at the Chicago Theater. Tickets almost gone there. Go get it. Sexyliberal.com for all of the upcoming shows, by the way. Tucson coming up Saturday, July 9th. Boston, Saturday, July 16th. Santa Fe, Detroit, on and on. Asheville, North Carolina. Tickets going fast everywhere, so get it.
Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, crazy. And I showed up. Yeah, had to add a show. All right.
yeah, to the detriment of
your
sanity.
Oh, by the way, we're going to have, I don't know if they're up yet, but John Fugelsang took some pictures in Minneapolis last week. Mm-hmm. Lot of ass shots of Mama. So enjoy.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. He was, I don't know why, the whole show, he must have been like right behind me. But there's just any number array of ass shots. So
well, you
enjoy.
Do. You
like
do.
An ass cam, totally.
You do have a spectacular.
Thank you very much. Yeah. All right. Let's, listen, we have important Congress people ready, for God's sakes. Don't say things like that. Hopefully she didn't hear that. Shh. We have important war stuff going on with Afghanistan, and Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez joins us now. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. I heard it all.
See? Damn you, Chris. You know, we've been talking about Afghanistan all morning, and your statement, it kind of echoes what I've been saying. You said, I believe it's imperative that the president quicken the pace of America's withdrawal from Afghanistan, get out our troops even faster than he proposed. I mean, it obviously is faster than, you know, Petraeus wanted, than the generals wanted, but it's not fast enough for a lot of us, right?
Well, first of all, not all the generals were in agreement that it should just be 5 or 10,000 troops. There are quite a few who are asking the same thing, you know, let's get out of there. So there was disagreement among the generals. I want to set that record straight. And secondly, just to say, you know, I mean, right now I just stepped out for a couple minutes from the Armed Services Committee, but, you know, my questions will be, what are we doing there? What does getting out look like? I mean, nobody has been able to paint the picture of what conditions have to exist for us to withdraw from Afghanistan, because it's not doable.
Yeah,
it's not doable.
I mean, it seems, you know, obviously, Congresswoman, they're you know, casting this as a victory for, or not a victory, but I mean, obviously, that Joe Biden was right, or that, you know, the operation that killed bin Laden, I guess maybe I don't understand it to the extent you do, is why do we have to have such a large troop presence when we could rely on operations like that if, in fact, you know, we have intelligence or terrorists regroup there?
Well, in fact, the most important thing, the reason we went into Afghanistan was to go after Al-Qaeda, because they had, in fact, planned 9/11 and gone through with that. And so now Al-Qaeda is in other places. It's in Yemen, Arabian Peninsula, it's in Somalia. So they've scattered. There are very few of them left in Afghanistan, and yet we seem to have NATO troops there that would amount to about 120 or 130,000, depending on how you count it. So we're fighting, in a sense, with conventional-type troops in a place that really we need to pull those out. We need to have more types of special forces, our drones, and we need to tell the Taliban and others, listen, you know, we're not going to allow you to set up camps for people to train against us, and if we see that, we're going to bomb them. I mean, that's what we need to say. And we need to bring our troops back. We need to get our house in order here in the United States, because I would say that this economic condition in the United States is making us weak as a country much more than whatever we could do with our military.
Well, yeah, at $113 billion a year, as you point out, you know, we have all these people on, you know, Republicans screaming about the deficit. And, you know, here we go again. Here's John Boehner. Take a listen.
If the president listens to the commanders on the ground and our diplomats in the region, makes a decision, I'll be there to support him.
I mean, they always use that argument, right? Listen to the commanders on the ground, except when they disagree with what they want to do. I mean, they're so selective about that.
Well, diplomats out there have said to us, let's get the heck out. I mean, that's the reality. People are looking at it, and there is not a typical style win as Americans always think of. You either won a war or you lost a war. Look, we went in there, we took care of business, we've got Osama bin Laden, we need to bring our conventional troops back. We haven't even seen, first of all, because we're losing people there, and that is wrong. It is wrong when you cannot tell me how do we win there. And secondly, because Americans need to educate their girls, their children.
Right.
You know, it's nice thought to educate the girls of Afghanistan. Sounds good, but not at the expense of the people here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. So, Congresswoman, the other, you know, the big issue I just wanted to talk about is the economy. I was talking about a Paul Krugman piece that, you know, obviously argued that the stimulus always should have been bigger and it wasn't, you know, and now the problem is, you know, this economy is, you know, hurting the president in the polls. What is politically and feasibly possible to do on the economy and jobs?
Well, nothing here. I mean, the new people who have come to the Congress and the House are no, no, no. They're all about cutting everything in the government except, by the way, you know, like they tout the fact that we should go down to 2008 levels of spending for the federal government. Well, in 2008, the defense budget, even though we were in two wars, was probably about $240 billion or something of the sort. They just approved in the House a $690 billion defense bill. So it's a problem.
Right. Well, I mean, that's exactly what I mean. It's just I don't know how you have arguments with these people when, you know, they're screaming about the deficit and then they want to keep the exact same presence in Afghanistan. You know, they want not – and a lot of these Republican candidates don't just want the same tax cuts for the rich that Bush put in. They want to double down on that.
And still think
that there's no way you don't need any revenue to do anything with this deficit.
Anybody who has a household and is working understands two things, that if you have debt, you've got to pay down. You've got to cut back on your expenses where you can. You can't shut down the gas because then you can't cook for your family, and it's less expensive to be at home cooking than it is to go out to a restaurant every night. So where you can, you've got to bring down your expenses, but you've also got to figure out, how am I going to get more money? Am I going to take a second job? Am I going to go in and ask for a raise? Is my husband going to have to go to work? Is my teenage kid going to have to take a part-time job after school? You have to figure out not just where to cut down your expenses, but also how do I get more money into the household so I can pay down these credit cards? The federal government needs to do the same thing. We will not pay down that credit card we have just by cutting expenses. We need to figure out where we pick up more revenue. And what that means for government is that some people will have to pay taxes.
Yep. And we have to get a paper route. I understand what you're saying. We got to figure out a way to get more cash in. Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez, always great to check in with you on the issues of the day. Thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
All righty.
There she goes. America needs a paper route, Jim.
Yes. A global paper route. Maybe we should just open a meth lab.
Maybe. Maybe we should just sell H to Ann Coulter. That might put the country back in the black.
You need a stingray with a banana saddle and a basket to carry the papers in.
Yeah.
You just described my childhood bike. Wow. Okay.
I had a yellow one once with a big banana seat.
I had a yellow one with a big, tall flag on the back.
Oh, that's so cool.
No, it wasn't.
There you are. Husky boy riding down the street.
Exactly. Fat kid.
Husky boy riding on a stingray. Husky boy riding on a stingray.
There's nothing more.
That's why you needed the big flag to say, "Here comes the big Husky boy."
No, you didn't need the flag to see me. You didn't need to.
For Husky tough skins.
I wore the tough skins so that if I fell off the bike,
sure,
I wouldn't skin my knee.
Leathers.
You couldn't skin your knee. There was too much fat lover. Over it.
Yeah. Fat kids just should not ride bikes. I discovered that when I was a tot.
That's the only way you get exercise when you're a fat kid.
Exactly.
Because you can't
dear.
Run.
Gotten,
it's a vicious circle.
We've gotten into your fat child life. Brian in Charlotte, North Carolina on Afghanistan. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning. Hey, you know, something stunning has happened here. Obama has completely destroyed the right-wing meme of the Dems being weak on defense. I'm going to give you a reason why. The media now is talking about building bridges and roads here instead of Afghanistan, and it looks like they're carrying the electorate with them based on the polls. So even if the Congress defunds the war, or God forbid, like a nuke gets loose in Pakistan, if we pull out when we're gone, they can never, ever again blame a Dem for being weak on defense or blame President Obama or run against him in any way on defense.
They'll try.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Explain that to the people of Minnesota. You know, Tim Pawlenty probably wants to, keep the same troop strength in Afghanistan, but we don't need bridges and infrastructure here.
We don't need
no
stinking bridges.
Yeah, exactly. Why would we need that?
Or badges.
Or badges.
We don't. Pat in Maryland.
We don't need any of that.
No. Pat in Maryland. Hi, Pat.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. What are you coming to the D.C. area?
What's that?
When are you all coming to the D.C. area?
Oh, I don't know yet. Well, I'm sure there's sexy liberal elves working on that. I don't know, but go ahead.
Okay. Everywhere but here.
Aye.
Okay. David took some of my thunder.
Damn him, Bender.
Can Congress defund the war if they want the troops home faster?
What's that?
Can Congress defund the troops if they want them home faster?
With the makeup of Congress right now, there's absolutely no way that Congress could defund the war.
Yeah, it's because it's House is controlled by Republicans.
Yeah. Okay, and the thing about President Obama in March, for gays and lesbians, I'm a black person. I used to go to a church, and they had a petition to against gay marriage. But I think his reason is not that he doesn't believe in equal rights for gays and lesbians. It's just that word marriage is something that religious people have in their head. Because when my pastor asked me to sign the paper,
right,
I told him no. I didn't sign it because I thought about it. I mean, and I'm not trying to be bad talk.
Can I take a moment to say yay for you?
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Man for gay and lesbians, but
All right, honey.
Religious people want to call it marriage. You can call it marriage if you want to, but if it's according to the religious beliefs, marriage is between a man and a woman.
Some religious beliefs, not all religious beliefs.
I'm talking about my religious beliefs, the Christian religion,
Baptist. Right. Some beliefs. Christians believe that gay people, do have marriage equality.
I don't have a problem with gays getting married. I'm just saying the word is what holds up a lot of people.
Yeah, I understand. All right. Pat, the problem now is not that you're a black person. You're a black person with a bad phone. So we have to hang up. But I love you. Okay. I can only catch every other word, but I think I got most of it. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Lots of folks want to check in on Afghanistan. Oh, we have, in fact, Representative Adam Smith. He's in a hearing right now on Afghanistan.
Wow.
So he's been moved to
a few
minutes later. So we'll get the very latest on Afghanistan as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
You got blood on your face, a big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour.
We're starting this drawdown from a position of strength. Al-Qaeda is under more pressure than at any time since 9/11. Together with the Pakistanis, we have taken out more than half of Al-Qaeda's leadership. And thanks to our intelligence professionals and special forces, we killed Osama bin Laden, the only leader that Al-Qaeda had ever known. This was a victory for all who have served since 9/11. One soldier summed it up well. The message, he said, is we don't forget. You will be held accountable no matter how long it takes.
So Jim, I mentioned I killed Osama bin Laden?
Jim, since I'm a bad packer, I just don't understand why we can't get 78,000 troops out, say, by next Tuesday. Is that impractical
in
some way?
That's horribly impractical.
Oh. You would need a plane the size of Nebraska, I think,
yes.
Get run out at once.
Well, there's some jobs. Let's build a plane to Nebraska.
I think Howard Hughes tried to.
Yeah. Patrice in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Patrice.
Good morning, guys. As much as I love this president and I support him, but I have to say that... he has, and I hate to say it, but he's capitulated, he's conceded, and caved in to these Republican demands.
Are you talking about Afghanistan?
Afghanistan, health care.
Well, this drawdown was actually much quicker than, you know, certainly some Republicans and General Petraeus wanted. So, you know, to me, Patrice, it's one of those in the middle things again. You know, it's not as much as the left wants, but it's, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is that, you know, I wish that he was a lot bolder on the issues, with the economy, with Afghanistan, I mean, with a host of things. And I realize that, you know, the Republicans, they have the House and they're doing everything to destroy this man's agenda. But
right.
I just wish that he had some fight in him. If he showed that he was a fighter and that he really, you know, want to win the next election and stand up with the middle class and stand up for progressive issues, he would be a lot better off.
Yeah.
But if you keep caving in and capitulating and conceding and calling it compromise,
right.
You leave yourself vulnerable, and then he's leaving our base vulnerable, too.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, this is, but here's the
Medicare
thing. Dick Durbin
should never be on the table for, you know, these budget fights. I mean, that should have been a...
Well, I mean, Dick Durbin and Chuck Schumer actually said what we've been saying on the show. Republicans are sabotaging economic recovery efforts because it will help them win. I mean, that's the problem is when you really don't have partners that are negotiating in good faith. Durbin said, unfortunately, our Republican colleagues in the House and Senate are driven by putting one man out of work, President Obama. They want to play political games at the expense of getting this economy back on its feet. They believe a weak economy is the best chance of winning the next election. And that I think, is true. I mean, you know, Krugman, we've been talking about Krugman a lot.
That's always been the Republican meme, though.
He writes, you know, obviously, it's in the New York Times. I think he's talking about the Obama White House, paid too much attention to the short-term political risks of taking on popular positions versus the medium-run political risks of having a lousy economy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a real mortgage mod program would have fed Tea Party sentiment, but it might have meant a stronger economy in the second half of 2010, and that would have mattered a lot more. As best as I can tell, the political types in the White House have year after year operated on the principle that the economy is on the mend, so it's time to pivot to centrist-sounding themes, only to keep finding that, no, the economy isn't on the mend, and they're paying for that at the polls.
Yeah, but the center keeps moving to the right. Problem.
Right.
They keep chasing the Republicans rightward to find consensus, and that's just...
Right, right. He writes, second, the administration made what I continue to believe was an awful decision to pretend that half measures it was actually able to get were exactly right, not too small, the stimulus he's talking about. Would it have made a difference in 2010 if Obama had been able to say, I asked for more aid to the economy, but those guys blocked it, and that's why we're not recovering faster? Which, you know, and I think I really think that's true. Krugman finishes again. Today's column wasn't about advice to the White House. It's about the longer game, making the case that we're suffering a gratuitous economic nightmare that could be cured if we would only try. I mean, it seems to me in this economy we do. We have to reframe the issues. 29 minutes after the hour, back with more on all that and Representative Adam Smith as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Looks like you've been through some hard times.
Actually, I was fine until I saw that face of yours.
Stephanie Miller.
It's painful just to look at you.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. Jim in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
So, Cliff, I just want to say I appreciate the work you and your crew guys do, and you guys are excellent and you're funny.
Oh, thank you. It's barely work, but thank you.
The reason I'm is, you know, here's the bottom line. Your political guest had fantastic points
People in this country are looking at, you know, what are you bringing in your front door as far as finances for your family? Are you having chicken soup now? Are you going to get laid off? I don't care if the person next door to me is gay. I don't care what religion my neighbor is. I'm concerned about what I'm earning, what my career looks like, and what my future looks like. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And you've got so many people in the country, and they're fooled by this Republican smokescreen where Republicans are saying, well, we're the religious morale group, and we're the American patriot on steroids going to protect you from the terrorists. And people are buying in this rhetoric, and it's horrible, and it's got nothing to do with resolving the country's woes. It's got nothing to do with bringing the economy back. It's got nothing to do with providing good education for your children. And I don't understand why so many basic Americans who are not millionaires are buying into this stuff and following it, and these are the very people destroying their livelihoods.
Yeah, it's actually, it's good news probably for, gay groups, minorities, because things are really bad out there, so people don't have time to care about. That's why Hal Sparks' bit is so hilarious that he does in the Sexy Liberal Show about that's what we need is the dinosaurs to come back. Because that, like, all the differences and racism and homophobia just goes away when suddenly we have, like, a bigger enemy. Like, holy, dinosaurs are, we gotta, yeah, so it's, you gotta see it. You have to see him do the dinosaur on stage. It's true.
With the tiny T-Rex arms?
Exactly. Exactly. All right, the president talking about...
My fellow Americans, this has been a difficult decade for our country. We've learned anew the profound cost of war, a cost that's been paid by the nearly 4,500 Americans who have given their lives in Iraq and the over 1,500 who have done so in Afghanistan, men and women who will not live to enjoy the freedom that they defended. Thousands more have been wounded. Some have lost limbs on the battlefield, and others still battle the demons that have followed them home. Yet tonight, we take comfort in knowing that the tide of war is receding.
Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Steph. You know, Durbin is so on the money about what's going on with these people and how they really don't care about the outcomes of their behavior and their vote just as long as they stay in power. So I said to Rebecca, maybe what we ought to do, just like these new cigarette labels are going on with the graphic images of what this might cause, maybe we need to have some sort of graphic imagery played out in some sort of congressional hearing, or they're forced to wear a T-shirt that shows a child can't get health care, so that child is dying, that families are homeless, all because they want power. Mm-hmm. It's their ability to scramble the Christian message or any religious message of love and kindness is unbelievable to me. Jesus said, you can't serve money and power and serve me at the same time. And yet these people have figured out a way to twist stuff to basically say, you know, being a Christian isn't practical, so I'll just say I am, but I'll act otherwise.
Yeah,
it's reprehensible. It just makes me sick. And the people in this country buying into that because they don't care, or they just go into denial like a bunch of alcoholics, I don't know. But if the middle class ever gets their act together, this is going to be a power they're going to have to reckon with. If we ever get enough outrage in this country, it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, I know. Well, by the way, here's something else to be outraged about. Supreme Court, guess what, Jim? Little guy loses again.
Yep. Supreme Court sided with big business again.
Right.
They just ruled that makers of generic drugs don't have to disclose the risks that their drugs pose to the American people.
There's only a little rat poison in there.
And the Supreme Court ruled that drug companies can mine your prescription information for marketing purposes.
Small government, anyone?
Holy crap!
Okay. Jim, you want to take some corporations?
shouldn't your prescription information just be between you and your doctor and maybe your pharmacist?
No, because corporations are now citizens. They have more rights than we do.
Oh, my God.
Does this mean I'm going to be getting more erection pill?
Yes.
My erection is fine. Please, stop emailing me.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. Let's go to John in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, John.
Mugs, all you crowd. Hey, look, we don't have to worry about being a fascist. Hello?
Hello. John, you're drunk again, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I heard the silence. Usually I don't hear silence on there. It's always somebody chattering or something. But anyway, no, we don't have to worry about being a fascist society anymore. Yeah, because we already are.
Okay.
And that's just simple fact. The way they treated Walmart, the way they treat us,
And well, you know, the little guys.
Yeah, John, you're actually fairly coherent for you. Are you coming to the Are you coming to the Asheville Sexy Liberal Show?
Oh, I already got my tag.
Ah,
what do you mean?
And there's a bar there. There's a bar there, John.
And I am much funnier when you're drunk, which is why John enjoys me so much.
Yes.
Ken in Wichita, Kansas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Steph. Hey, I'm out in no man's land here. I'm a liberal in Kansas, and my biggest problem is, what the hell have the Democrats done? And I hate Ryan's plan, but at least he had the balls to put one out there and get criticized over it. I'm sick of hearing.
You're the kind of Democrat that thinks Paul Ryan's plan is bold and courageous and refreshing.
No, I didn't like it at all. He's bold for putting it out there.
Oh, he's bold. You are saying he's bold.
And the Democrats were pretty damn bold for putting out health care reform, which is saving Medicare a whole slew of money.
Well, I'm talking about jobs and the economy right now. And what have the Democrats done for the last 6 months?
Ryan plan will kill Medicare. You realize
that. That's not what I'm talking about.
Well, you just said the Paul Ryan plan, sir.
I said it was bold for him to put it out there. I just said I didn't agree with it.
Right.
How is it bold to put out an awful plan about killing Medicare and giving tax rich people more tax cuts?
It's stupid and evil, but it's definitely bold.
I'm saying that it was bold for him to at least put something forward.
I disagree.
And it was bold for the Democrats to put forward health care reform and to get it passed.
I'm talking about the economy. I'm talking about the economy. What have the Democrats done for the last 8 months?
What have the Republicans have only put forward, you know, anti-choice bills, and I don't know what they haven't. There's not one jobs bill. We tried to get a bigger stimulus. We could barely get what we got that created the.
I get it. I don't want to point the finger at the other guy. I'm saying, what have we done? What have we done? What have we put out there? What have we put out there that has gotten kicked down?
The Republicans have blocked everything we've put out there.
Yeah, Ken, what are you talking about? The Democrats, there's been idea after idea that the Republicans have formed a solid wall of obstructionism against.
What has been put out there as a bill that's been voted down? What?
There have been some more job stimulus bills. Reid is trying to put out another job stimulus bill to get more people to work and to improve our infrastructure, and the Republicans are blocking it every step of the way.
In fact, here he is now, Senator Harry Reid, on that very subject. Just yesterday.
And we are recommending to the Biden Deficit Commission that they put jobs as part of what they're doing to help stimulate the economy.
Jim, you keep pointing this out, that over and over again, all the Republicans, they have not had one idea on jobs.
Right.
It's all cut, cut, cut. Mm-hmm. How does that create jobs? Their only idea is tax cuts for the rich,
right.
And which have not created jobs. They keep arguing, but if we keep doing it somehow.
And destroying these unions.
Yeah, exactly.
So any jobs that are available or paying not even subsistence wages, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, sorry.
So
I didn't know he was
they
want
to destroy the middle class.
Oh. You want me to take him now?
No, we'll take a break. That's why I gave you the break. Sorry.
I wasn't sure. We didn't do our producer's signal cap. All right, we're going to break early so we can come back with Representative Adam Smith. 42 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Fresh from an Afghanistan hearing, Representative Adam Smith of the great state of Washington. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Great to be on.
Nice to have you. So we've been obviously discussing Afghanistan all morning. Your statement that you just put out is supportive of the president's decision. You know, obviously, as you know, a lot of people on the left think this is not fast enough, correct, including Nancy Pelosi. Give us your take on this.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would lean in that direction as well. I mean, I certainly think, you know, drawing down 10,000 troops this year makes sense. I'd like to see the ramp a bit quicker next year. The president has said we're drawing down 23,000 more. I think we can do it quicker than that, as we just, I went back and forth with Admiral Mullen in the hearing, you know, we've added 128,000 Afghan security forces in the last 18 months. Surely some of them can begin to pick up the slack, and they need to pick up the slack. But I think the president is trying to strike a tough balance here. Understand that there's two things that everybody wants. Number one, they want our troops home as soon as is humanly possible. Number two, they don't want Afghanistan to descend into chaos. And striking the balance of how you do both of those things is tough. I think that the president's working it fairly well, even if, you know, if I had a little constructive criticism, it would be speed up the pace a little bit.
Well, okay, here's what I've been asking the question all morning because I'm not an expert in this area, sure. Is that, you know, it seems to me that you know, Joe Biden's strategy has been sort of vindicated here, this special ops, you know, operation that took bin Laden out. I guess I don't understand why we can't more quickly go to more of that, since there are so few al-Qaeda actually left in Afghanistan. Why do we need such a large military presence?
Two answers to that question. First of all, the concern isn't about how many al-Qaeda are actually in Afghanistan right now. The concern is about whether or not there is an Afghan government that can stand in the face of the Taliban. I mean, the dominoes right. that fall here isn't we leave and al-Qaeda suddenly shows back up. The dominoes are if we leave too soon and the government collapses, the Taliban retakes it, or it simply descends into Somalia-like chaos, and then al-Qaeda has safe haven to come back in. So that's the concern there. It's having government. And second of all, the thing to remember about the bin Laden raid, that doesn't justify what Biden said. If we'd done what Biden had said, you know, a couple of years back and drawn down significantly, keep in mind where those helicopters and those special forces came from. Right. They came from Jalalabad in Afghanistan. And if we don't control Jalalabad in Afghanistan, then they don't come from there. So the idea that a CT mission is completely divorced from what everybody else is doing is very much misplaced. The intelligence you deliver, the ground that you control, that's all critical to being able to carry out these better CT missions. Now I think we are in a position to transition down because of the forces we've trained in Afghanistan, because of the way we've pushed the Taliban back out of
So you think the president's strategy has been correct thus far?
I don't think there's much question that, you know, what he announced in 2009 has been vindicated. The question is, can we get out of there quicker? I think we can. Now, you've got a bunch of generals in there and obviously a bunch of Republicans saying, oh, my goodness, we're pulling out too fast. Everything's going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. And I disagree with that. I mean, that was Buck McKeon's opening statement was, you know, we're jeopardizing our gains. Now, how, you know, drawing down, 33,000 troops over the course of the next 14 months jeopardizes those gains. I just don't see that at all. I think we can do it faster.
Give me your take on this. This is Senator Lindsey Graham yesterday.
If we rush to the exits because of polling here, then we're going to undercut the progress. And the ticket home for us with honor and security is to leave behind an Afghan army and police force that can defend the Afghan people against the Taliban.
So that's echoing, I guess, what you were saying.
Sure. Well, yes and no. I mean, we are not rushing to the exits,
right.
First of all. Second of all, something that I very much disagree with is the notion that, you know, somehow we can't leave if there's risk. Look, if we could put 150,000 U.S. troops in there for 10 more years, and when we left at that point, there would be risk. This is an unstable part of the world. I guess I would disagree a little bit with Senator Graham in that he's sort of laying it out, as long as there's risk, we have to stay there. There's risk in staying there. Risks that I don't think are being properly understood. I mean, every day there are stories in Afghanistan about Afghan people who are upset with the presence of 150,000 foreign troops tromping around their country. And that undermines us as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know, the broad point that we can't leave too soon, I agree with, but the notion that whenever we leave, it's always too soon, which seems to be what we're hearing from some folks, that I don't agree with.
Yep. Congressman, you are obviously top Democrat on the House Armed Services Committee. You're working on a bill. You're one of a few lawmakers that have kept an eye on Gabrielle Giffords' interests as a congresswoman, and you're pushing a bill on behalf of her. What is that?
It's basically changing the energy policy within the Department of Defense. Like, no one consumes more energy, spends more money on it in the U.S. than the Department of Defense. If we can generate greater efficiencies, if we can more quickly move to alternatives, we save an enormous amount of money. It's also national security interests. I mean, one of the great stories is how solar power at forward operating bases in Afghanistan have enabled our troops there to rely less on oil and gasoline so that they have fewer convoys that they have to get in and take in and out. If we have alternative sources of fuel, we are in a better position to handle the logistics of a fight like Afghanistan, and also just overall we can save an enormous amount of money and move in that direction. So this bill advances a variety of different initiatives to encourage the Department of Defense to develop alternatives and increase efficiencies. It's something that Gabby's been working on for years and making progress piece by piece. This is sort of the comprehensive bill that she introduced last Congress. Now I'm introducing it on her behalf in this Congress.
That's awesome. Congressman, I know a lot of people are interested in how is she doing, and you know, how do you feel? I mean, clearly people are so rooting for her to come back to Congress. How have you heard her recovery is going?
Yeah, well, I exchanged messages with her husband yesterday. I haven't actually connected with him, and she's doing great. As everyone knows, she went back to Tucson this past weekend. She's also now an outpatient, not in the hospital every day, but coming in for physical therapy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the keys here are getting the strength back on the right side of her body and improving her speaking ability. Right. And those things are improving every single day. I mean, it's tough, and it's painful, you know, to see her when you know what she was before.
Yeah.
You know, I guess the way I would put it is every time I see her, I'm encouraged by the fact that she's better than the last time I saw her, and still, to be frank, a little bit pissed off by the fact that she's in this situation.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Because you know what she was before, but she's coming back and getting better every day.
Yep. Well, thank you so much for the update on that and for, you know, taking up the work that she was doing. Representative Adam Smith, always a pleasure. Talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right.
Appreciate the chance.
All right, thank you. He's good.
He's really good.
Oh, that's what it's kind of the way I feel. You know what I mean? It's just you still can't. It's just that whole just when you know you're the United States Congressperson 1 minute, and then the next minute, you know, you're struggling to put together a sentence because of some limited
jack wagon.
All right. Representative Barbara Lee, why did I know she might differ from Lindsey Graham?
I must say that 10 to 15,000 troops, that's not significant. That's not sizable. That's not what the American people expect. The surge in December of 2009 was 30,000.
I think once again Jim Ward has been vindicated. We just need to airlift everything with a vagina out of Afghanistan, even the goats.
The male goats
are on their own. Just saying.
Well, as Ann Coulter said earlier, there are more goats than flush toilets in Afghanistan. Mm. So
yes,
that'd be quite an airlift.
Jim, Congressman Smith just said alter your view at all? Because a lot of it makes sense. I mean, I respect his opinion a lot, and you kind of go, oh, okay, so it's not just about Al Qaeda. It's you know the whole collapse of
the Afghanistan government.
It's hard. It really is. You kind of go, you know, it's
governing's hard.
It's hard. It's harder than math.
Well. You know, when the Soviets left Afghanistan the last time,
opened up things for the Taliban.
The Taliban, you know, disemboweled the leader and strung him up from a lamppost. Uh-huh. Ironically, probably the only reason there were lampposts is because the Soviets had been there. But,
it is ironic. I really do think.
Karzai is very aware of that, so obviously he's cutting deals with the Taliban.
Well, I
heard
has he
torn down all the lampposts then preemptively?
I heard that even our people have started talking to the Taliban.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, because
they're not going away.
Yeah. No, so you might as well...
You know what? Just sell poppies, sell opium, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like the Hamas being part of government. It's like, you know, you shouldn't have rushed the elections, but now you've got to deal with them. They're part of the
And that's their cash crop, opium poppies.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that's bringing money into Afghanistan besides...
Well,
you'd think it would be a vacation wonderland for Ann Coulter.
But also the rare...
Noted H addict.
Yeah. Things like lithium.
What?
And another.
Allegedly.
Chasing the dragon.
No, but there are huge mineral deposits, like lithium, that are useful in modern
technology. Yeah, but that costs money to.
And the Chinese are doing it. The Chinese are mining the place now.
By the way, someone started a rumor early on in the show that Ann Coulter's a heron addict, and we don't have any. She blurts out things she has no backing for, so we don't really know if it's true.
Yeah.
We don't even know where it started, but somehow it's continued through the entire show.
When you had
both Rebecca and David Bender have claimed to have done H earlier this morning with Ann Coulter.
When you had your picture taken with her, did you notice the track marks?
I wasn't looking.
Or does she?
I was staring at her Adam's apple. Kirk in Washington State, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kirk.
Morning, Mama and Mooks. Yesterday morning, you mesmerized us with a very vivid description of that long-haired, skinny jean-clad high school dropout rock and roll rebel named John Huntsman and his band Wizard.
Wizard!
Wizard.
Mm-hmm. Have you got some wizard?
Do we? Oh, I don't think there's any.
There's no wizard to be found. I know. I know Rebecca was looking for some.
Was
yesterday.
She really?
There's probably a cassette somewhere.
Yeah, we'll look for the 8-track, Kirk. But we have
a single.
We have not found the musical stylings of Wizard. But we'll keep looking. Boy, I bet it was good. All right, 58. Minutes.
How to tune their guitars.
58 minutes after the hour, CNN anchor Don Lemon joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal Show website. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Dave in St. Paul, Steph, love the show, the Sexy Liberal Show last Saturday in Minneapolis. I saw the picture of your cooter that you tweeted from stage. You forgot to smile. All right, Dave, sorry. I'll do better next time. I think we're going to have a picture up there of me taking a picture of my cooter that John Fuglesang took. So enjoy as soon as we get those up. And it was a considerable ass cam. He took several pictures of my ass that you can find up. I don't know if they're up yet. Sexy Liberal Elves, working around the clock. Sexy Liberal at Facebook and on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Chicago is selling out quickly this Saturday, June 25th, backed up by the Chicago Blues All-Stars. It's going to be off the hook for Gay Pride Weekend and Taste of Chicago. Tucson, Saturday, July 9th. Boston, Saturday, July 16th. And on and on. Go to Sexy Liberal to find out how to get tickets to all of that. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, the big
106
one.
106 miles to Chicago.
People are coming from far and wide.
We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes.
To witness the progressive comic genius of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show.
It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
And now, they're coming to Chicago.
Chicago. Hit it.
Come on. Let's talk about sex. On June 25th, Chicago's Gay Pride Weekend, John Fuglesang, Hal Sparks, and Chicago's favorite deep dish, Stephanie Miller, will bring their quick-witted liberal wisdom to the historic Chicago Theater.
This is going to be f***ing golden.
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, and tickets can be purchased at the Chicago Theater box office. Come to the show that conservatives don't want you to see. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Do it with pride.
Bitch, the Chicago one.
All right. Oh, by the way, Patty saw the show in Minneapolis. Steph, I thought you might be interested to know your creepy boss. When you were in Minneapolis, your creepy boss, the guy who owns the show, who's trying to kill me for the life insurance.
Because?
This is good.
Oh, there's a particularly creepy picture of him backstage in Minneapolis that should be up soon.
He only takes creepy pictures,
I've
noticed.
He always looks creepy.
Yeah.
He never smiles.
And when he does, it's like an evil, lewd smile.
Yeah. He's looking at my ass, probably.
Yeah.
From backstage, just in that creepy way of his.
Okay,
anyway,
this is good.
Okay. I love this. I thought you might be interested to know, when you were in Minneapolis during the show, your creepy boss talked to someone the entire time you were on stage. That's because he never stops talking. He actually should be the talk show host,
this is true.
I should be.
I keep talking.
Because,
there's no stopping me.
No,
there's no stopping me.
Because I talk continuously.
I have something to say, whether it is of any consequence or not, I know not. But the point is... there is
What was that first road trip we did? Remember when we used to go on the road 1,000 years ago?
Yeah.
We were driving somewhere through the South, and Ron was doing a historical thing about every... Okay, right. Jim, I don't know if you know, but this particular house was built during the Revolutionary... Okay, because...
And
also, this is the house where John Wilkes Booth hid before meeting up with Mary Surratt and George Axelrod.
And then in Denver, City by the Bay, when he had accidentally set the GPS to avoid highways. So it took us roughly 72.5 hours to get from where our hotel to the...
Nowhere near Denver.
Yes. That's how we first knew it was City by the Bay. Anyway, he talked the entire time. Okay, this is lovely countryside I had not seen in Colorado. And also, I don't know if you know that Boulder, traditionally... Okay.
So there actually was a boulder in Boulder.
Okay, that's how it was.
But then the boulder rolled away, and then...
Just like one of those little suction cup things, like on the window, just trying to get out of the car. God.
There's a major freeway that goes between Denver and Boulder, and we didn't take it.
We're not
taking that. What is wrong with this GPS?
I listened to what the GPS says, and if GPS lady says recalculating, I'm embarrassed.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And I decide to... drive into next state.
All right. Anyway, the chat room kids want to know how much the life insurance policy is on you. Maybe we can buy them off. Someone thought the policy was only $500. We already had $30 collected. Oh, good, chat room. Thank you.
$30?
Maybe you can. Maybe you can.
Be a nice dinner.
All right. All right, I'm going to have to fly again tomorrow to Chicago. And did you see this? Man flies U.S. Airways in women's underwear.
Yes.
There's the picture.
That's quite an outfit.
Yes, indeed.
Are those thigh-high boots or are those
just
socks?
There's a whole racial controversy over this now.
Racial?
6 days before, a college football player was arrested at San Francisco International Airport in a dispute that began when a U.S. Airways employee asked him to pull up his sagging pants. Mm-hmm. A man who was wearing little but women's undergarments was allowed to fly on the airplane.
Okay, I see.
We don't have a dress code policy, so they're not exposing their private parts. They're allowed to fly. Good to know for me dressing tomorrow.
Yeah, but sagging pants... really doesn't show.
Yes, that's what he said. He's an African-American football player. He said they let a drag queen board a flight and welcomed him with open arms. Employees didn't ask him to cover up. This is his attorney, actually.
I see his point.
A white man is allowed to fly in underwear without question, but my client was asked to pull up his pajama pants because they hung below his waist. I think the one thing we've learned from all this is RuPaul is screwed and cannot fly anywhere.
I do see his point. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah. Because he wasn't exposing anything.
Saggy pants to some people means gang.
But the saggy pants weren't exposing anything because he had boxers on.
Yeah, exactly.
So I
can see where they might
think
that's
a racially.
Yeah, exactly. And besides, that's what we do in talk radio is gin up controversy, racial or otherwise.
No, we don't. That's our stock in trade. Are you kidding
me?
Yes.
Our bag, baby.
Mary in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes, hi, Stephanie. I love your show. I love the MOOCs. And I have to say, I have tickets to the Tucson. When you come to Tucson.
Yay, July 9th, Tucson, Sexy Liberal Show. Whee!
Tucson Convention, Centennial Hall.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be great. The other thing is I did want to tell you, this has been a number of years now. The first time I heard your show, I was very confused.
Yes.
It was so funny.
It is confusing.
About two or three listens before I got it.
Yeah, I know. I understand. It's befuddling. It never goes well for me when someone calls and says, I just heard your show for the first time.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
What exactly is this?
Yeah, what is it? But thank you for hanging in there, Mary.
I love your show.
All right. I love you back now. All right. Yeah. By the way, so Rebecca, Jim, was late today because of something. Sig alert.
Yes.
Yes. And so Chris made the mistake of answering the phones himself and knows what Rebecca goes through. And what did some guy say?
This is the first time I've listened to the Stephanie Miller Show, and I'm going to tell you it's going to be your last time. I said, okay, thanks for listening, Clay.
Thank you.
I could tell that he just wasn't going to stay on to talk to Stephanie, so I'm like, don't waste my time.
All right. I would have loved to go more into detail with him, but okay.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, yeah, Jim's done that job.
Slam. All right, Mike in Queens, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Mike.
Good morning, Mama. I got a quick one here for you. There's a Democratic site that says it's 169 days. They have a clock on there. It's 169 days and not one Republican jobs bill. But I got a few here for the Democrats. A Democrat bill, H.R. 5297, that was wanted to be put on the floor, but the Republicans don't want it on the floor. Will spur 500 jobs and develop and job development and 8 new tax incentives that will close loopholes on companies that want to yank jobs out.
Right.
You have H.R. 478.
Yeah. No, I mean, exactly. Chuck Schumer and Doug Durbin are right. The Republicans just don't want the economy to get better. It's not good for them politically. That was a caller that said, what are the Democrats doing? Well, Harry Reid, for instance.
We're seeking policies to build roads and bridges and dams and water systems and sewer systems.
And they don't want that. They don't want anything that might create jobs and help the economy and strengthen our infrastructure. Because that would be good for President Obama and bad for them. Gary in Springfield, Massachusetts, real quick. Hey, Gary.
Stephanie, how cool to talk to the coolest woman on radio.
Right?
I'll try to talk fast because awesome. I know I'm on the clock. I actually went door-to-door for Barry Goldwater and your dad.
You were the one. Thank you.
I was it in Albany, New York, and it just was an honor.
Thank
but,
you.
Anyhow,
thank you.
What you just alluded
good
to.
Good job, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. I guess. Wasn't for Johnson. Anyway, I just wanted to say real quickly that you just touched on something that troubles me a great deal, and that is how the Republican Congress in general will sell the country down the river, basically, to gain foothold into the presidency again and get rid of the president we have now, President
that's
Obama.
Right.
And, you know...
That's somebody who said that, you know, Durbin, that's mm-hmm. the only job they're concerned about is the president losing his job.
Yep.
I mean, that's it.
You know, how sad is that? I mean, if there are righties out there listening, and I don't know if there are, but if there are, you know, think about that. You know, think about how badly we're getting treated by the people we elected in order to get their own people back in. It's all a power thing. And,
absolutely.
You know, what a privilege to talk to you.
Oh,
honestly.
You too. You too. We both agree on that, for sure.
And,
all right. Don't we all agree that it's a privilege to be here with me? All right, Chris, what have we learned? What have we learned at my Shelley Wright party last Sunday? Or, yeah, it was last Sunday. And that is that friends don't let friends produce drunk. Our good friend, brilliant comedian Rick Overton is right outside because you forgot that he asked if he can come in and you said yes.
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 Sure, come on down.
Yes. And we were supposed to have Don Lemon here, and now Don Lemon didn't show up for some reason. And so Rick's out there. We'll bring him in here, and then we'll see what happens. I don't know. And Ari Berman's coming up at the bottom of the hour. It's just going to be a little cattywampus. But it'll be fun.
We've done this before.
Sure.
We do this every Wednesday with Hal. We do it
did
every
I just throw
front.
You under the bus? Maybe. 17
I'm
minutes.
Sitting out there, and we'll bring him in here.
There's so many opportunities I could take to throw you under the bus,
no,
but I'm not, because
certainly.
I'm a bigger person.
Certainly. In a husky boy way or in a moral way?
In many, many ways.
17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. What's that? Oh, it's the wacky neighbor. Look, Rick Overton is here.
Hi.
Comedian extraordinaire.
I heard you throw a little shindig. Thought I'd just poke in and make everything a little bit uncomfortable.
We're always happy to have you.
Always
we
happy
just
to
didn't
be
remember you were coming today because Chris was drunk when he
booked you. Oh, come on,
we don't have any schedules.
It was a wonderful bash you threw Sunday. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks for coming. Chris had a particularly good time. Now, Rick Overton, what is your take on the Republican field thus far? You know, yesterday John Huntsman got in. Do we have some? Give us some Huntsman, John Huntsman of the nice hair.
He would have little credibility in talking about a market-based health care plan, having signed on to what he did.
Ooh, he's trying to win the Mormon off, first of all. He was doing a little Romney bashing.
Well, America needs fresh.
Yes.
America needs new.
Yes.
And America needs one word.
What's that?
It doesn't matter. Just one word.
Just
as
one
long
word.
As it's just one word, that's all America needs.
Yes.
Don't give me a sentence.
All right.
I'll come apart.
John Huntsman again.
I believe in God. I'm a good Christian, and I'm very, very proud of my Mormon roots.
Christian?
I'm very proud of my Mormon roots. I think spirituality is a very individual thing.
I dye my Mormon roots.
Oh, I think that a lot of the crazy religious right in the Tea Party would beg to differ.
She's not a Christian!
They don't think Mormons are Christians. Not the right kind.
And I think that Utah's California.
He's not going to win the God Warrior primaries. They're in places like Iowa.
I'm a God warrior!
I miss that woman so much.
Man, she was helpful.
Yeah, but that's because I'm dark-sided.
Dark-sided,
she used to say.
We're all a Christian!
She was
dark-sided.
She was so lovely.
She is dark-sided, too! Dark-sided, too!
Yes.
She was in a band called Wizard!
Can you imagine she's riding shotgun on a cross-country drive?
Go.
Who?
Yeah.
That woman. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Get off this exit! It's an outback steakhouse!
Yeah, she talks like that all the time.
Don't turn left, turn right. You're not a Christian. That's creepy.
All right, nudie.
Is this the public library?
Okay. All right. All right.
It hurts being her.
Speaking of presidential candidates, nudie.
Its biggest challenge, candidly, because the news media will be raising money. Will be a very inexpensive campaign. We're almost precisely where John McCain was in July of 2007 on the money front.
He says candidly now.
I was just going to say, because he knows we make fun of
candidly,
him.
Candidly, frankly, I'm not going to say frankly anymore, candidly.
Frankly.
Frankly.
Candidly, even though millions are listening, it's candid.
I swear to God, that's the one campaign consultant he still has left. Stop saying frankly. Everybody keeps making fun of you.
Frankly.
Just something else. Candidly. Try that.
Frankly.
Candidly, I really like saying frankly.
There should be a character, Frank Lee.
Frank Lee.
Pops up, yes. Every time he says, yes. Yes.
Why do you keep saying my name?
I should get money every time I'm mentioned.
Frankly.
By the way, so you know you always hear that Gingrich was a professor, or he's a professor. It's in his online bio. Yeah. Huffington Post called up National Defense University trying to find his curriculum, reading list, whatever else he produced as a professor. Gingrich has never been a professor at the university, taught no courses, kept no office hours, graded no papers. He simply guest lectured at the university, which, by the way, somebody changed my Wikipedia. I spoke at the Lavender thing at USC, so I am a college professor now.
Wow. Hey, Professor Staff.
I got his degree where Dr. Phil got his degree in
theology. That's where Dr. Laura's a doctor. Yeah. And for $25, you can be a minister online.
Call me Professor Miller from now on.
Professor Miller.
Thank you.
You're looking smashing.
Tony in Virginia, you're on the Professor Miller Show.
Hi, Seth. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Since you came out, have you found it difficult to be friends with straight people that believe that being gay is a choice?
Actually, I have to say, I just realized this the other day. Most of my best friends are straight, so I don't.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, you get what I'm saying, though. I mean, because I'm going through an issue right now. I'm bisexual. I'm married to a woman, but you know, nothing's ever going to change the fact that I find men attractive. Mm-hmm. And I had a discussion with one of my closest friends last night, and she won't hear anything but what she thinks, which is that it's a choice and that you can just turn it off and on. And it's been bothering me like crazy. I mean, what am I supposed to do about that? Because I almost feel like I have to stop being her friend now.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I guess I'm my straight friends are all the most liberal people in the world, so I haven't had that. Yeah.
That's true.
Yes. I don't know. I know that's, it's interesting. Is marriage equality, moves forward. It seems like, that putting a human face on it usually is helpful, but I know what you mean. It's hard when, it's a human issue like that's a friend or a family member and they still, the Shelley Wright film that we just went to the premiere. We had the party for Rick. I mean, it's very sad. Her family is amazing. Her dad and her sister.
Yeah, they're nice, very cool about it.
But the mom is,
Yeah.
Thinks she's going to burn in hell, and they have no relationship, and it's very sad,
It's what you hear when you're a little kid.
Yeah.
That imprints like a baby bird.
She loves her mom, and she hopes for it to change, but, that's the thing. It's like changing hearts and minds. You can't do it overnight. We're going to talk, in fact, New York, they're very cracious, maybe today. It could be today, the vote for marriage equality. We will talk about that and much more. Ari Berman of The Nation joins us next. Rick Overton live in studio on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sometimes I think
Stephanie Miller
is the one thing that can save the world.
Oh, Sarah writes, I heart Rick.
Hey, Sarah. 34. Heart you right back, honey.
34 minutes after the hour. Someone else enjoys your man giggle.
Well, you elicit them honestly.
This hour brought to you by...
And now for something completely different. BritishPoliceUniformsLA.com vehemently deny lies in the left-wing media claiming we called for killing Medicare. If we want to preserve it for future generations by embalming it now.
If you'd like to sponsor an hour with Stephanie Miller, go to StephanieMiller.com. All right, Ari Berman, author, writer of the, from The Nation, whom we love, author of Herding Donkeys, The Fight to Rebuild the Democratic Party and Reshape American Politics. How do we do that, by the way, Ari?
Yeah.
Help us. If ever we needed your book, it's now.
Oh, well, thank you for the plug. I appreciate that.
But how
kind
do we herd...
green, isn't it? As they say in the business.
Yes. How do we herd donkeys and fight to rebuild the Democratic Party and reshape American politics?
How much time do we have on the show?
No. Yeah, I'm being John McLaughlin. Go! Ari Berman, now!
Yes or no, herding donkeys. Obviously, fix the economy, get us out of the wars, reactivate the grassroots, rebuild hope and change. I mean, that, I'd say that's for starters, right?
Right. Well, I mean, I was reading a Krugman piece, for instance, earlier about, you know, obviously what a lot of economists have said, the stimulus should have been bigger. And, you know, this new polling, Obama has hit new highs he'd like to avoid in public disapproval over his handling of the economy in general and unemployment in particular. It's a new Associated Press poll.
Yeah.
4 in 5 people now believe the economy is in poor shape. For the first time this year in the polling, respondents say Obama deserves a reelection and fallen below 50%. It's a virtual split, 48-47. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And things have been trending this way for a while now, which is after the 2010 election, Obama made a decision, and I think the Tea Party basically baited him into it, into focusing on austerity, focusing on the debt, and focusing on the deficit. And as I said on your show a few different times, that left a huge blind spot, which is that he wasn't talking about the issue that most Americans cared about, which is jobs. Neither party was really talking about that one issue. And therefore, the public has soured on Republicans in Congress, and they've soured on President Obama because of that. And so you have, interestingly enough, now things are reaching more of a critical mass where a lot of Senate Democrats are starting to say to the president, okay, you need a jobs agenda. You need a jobs agenda for two reasons. Number one, politically, you have to start talking about jobs or else you're going to keep falling. And substantively, we've got to try to get something through the Congress to give the economy an injection because people are worried that we're backsliding. The stimulus, not only was it not big enough, but it's run out. And nothing is replacing that. The Fed is not being aggressive. Everyone's just stepping back. And no one is being proactive about trying to fix the economic mess we're in.
Well, here's the good news in the polling for the president. More people, 56%, had a favorable impression of Obama himself. We often see this in polling, right? Moreover, about 3/4 of the survey participants said it's unrealistic to expect noticeable results on the economy in one term. Despite the overwhelming sentiment the economy is in poor shape, more than 3 out of 5 of those polled rated the financial situation of their own households as good. In yet another consolation prize for the president, he rates far better than Congress with the public. Their disapproval climbed to 76%. So what does all this mean politically for 2012?
It proves that the public, as is often the case, is somewhat schizophrenic and I think a bit confused. They do like Obama personally. I think they want to like him, but they look at the economic situation out there and they say to themselves, I think, and with some justification, that things are not getting better. They're not getting better as quickly as they would like, and they understand that he inherited the situation. They understand there's a lot of structural problems, and they understand they have to give him time. But that said, I mean, they've heard a lot of promises from the president, from the Democrats, from the Republicans, and they're not seeing those results. And so I think you're going to see a very angsty and volatile electorate for a long time. And what the Obama people are hoping is, okay, unemployment will go down. The public doesn't have to love him. They just have to like him more than the other guy. And right now, the other guys, with the possible exception of Mitt Romney, aren't looking so hot.
Well, you know, I hate to yell at another writer's name when I'm with you, but Matt Taibbi in the Rolling Stone. I mean, you know, it's a hilarious but terrifying piece about Michelle Bachmann, right, who we all laugh about. But he says, consider this possibility. She wins Iowa and swallows the Tea Party and Christian vote whole for the next 30 or 40 primaries while Romney and Pawlenty battle fiercely over who's the more viable, boring white guy candidate. Then Wall Street blows up again. It's Barack Obama and a soaring unemployment rate versus a white, God-fearing mother of 28 from the heartland. It could happen. Don Delos, well, yikes.
It's a great piece and very entertaining and also substantive as well. I was when I was in Minneapolis at Networks Nation, I know you were there too,
yeah.
I skedaddled over to the Right Online conference, the conservative conference, and I heard Michelle Bachmann's speech. And if you've only heard her on cable news, you really do need to listen to her in person because she is quite formidable. As Taibbi says, she tends to make up her own facts and reinforce an imaginary narrative. But that said, I mean, she is impressive. She doesn't seem crazy. She has a rapport with people. You could see her catching fire. Now,
yeah, there's not enough whole cloth, by the way, available for the amount of lies that she makes up on a daily basis.
But I think that's kind of par for the course. Of she's in step right with the lie making of the Tea Party and the Republican Party generally right now. So that doesn't seem to hurt her. And the conservative echo chamber is such that they believe it even if you tell them it's not true.
Yes.
So that is in and of itself a problem. The thing I think, though, is that this is a great scenario for Romney because Romney wants Bachmann to win Iowa because I think he views that the question will be, okay, who is more electable at the end of the day? I think that will still, in the end, decide the Republican primary in the way that it decides every presidential primary pretty much. And I think that people will look at the polling and they'll show Romney doing pretty well against Obama, Bachmann probably doing quite poorly, and Republicans will say to themselves, okay, well, we like what we're hearing out of her, but we just don't think that she can win. And thus, if it becomes a Romney-Bachmann race, I do think that's going to be a good thing for Romney. I think someone will have to come out who's more formidable, whether it's Rick Perry or someone else, to challenge Romney, or else I think it's hard to make predictions this far out, but I do think he has a very, very good shot of just winning the nomination by default at this point.
Mm-hmm. What now? What's your take, Ari, on Afghanistan? I mean, obviously, you know, here we are where it's a little up the middle. The left isn't happy, you know, and the right thinks, you know, and Petraeus wanted less of a drawdown. What is your take on Afghanistan, how that's going
to
play?
Well, I'm curious to hear what the Congress people who called into your show earlier, who I didn't get to hear, said about that.
Well, you know, what's interesting, Adam Smith, who I respect a lot from Washington, you know, helped us understand a little better because, you know, when you just do the big picture, you kind of go, I don't get it. You know, there's only 50 Al-Qaeda there. Why do we need the, you know, military? But, you know, he made a point about that it's not just the Taliban. It's about the whole country descending into chaos and the Taliban, you know, taking back over. So I guess it's not just the counterinsurgency strikes. And he also made, I think, the good point that the counterinsurgency strike that killed bin Laden came from Afghanistan. And if we were not based in Afghanistan, we wouldn't have been able to do that. So what's your take on that?
Well, I think the president and people like Adam Smith are going to have a hard time convincing the public of the need to stay in Afghanistan until 2014. I think for a few different reasons. I mean, number one, the expenditure is so high that alone is going to deter a lot of people. And then the metrics of success are looking very Vietnam-esque here, where we're talking about propping up a government that basically doesn't function and doesn't exist and that may not be any better than the alternative. We're talking about training an army and training a police force and building these Afghan institutions that are nowhere near ready to be built. And it's very unclear if, I mean, listen, we've been there a decade doing this and they're not ready. Will they be any more ready after we stay there two or three or four more years? And then 2014 seems kind of arbitrary. I mean, why 2014? I mean, it seems like Obama has put a lot off until 2014. I mean, we're going to pull out of Afghanistan and implement the health care bill at the same time. And that is assuming that he'll be reelected. He'll be able to do both of those things, which is at this point a big unknown. So I do think that withdrawing the surge troops is a positive step, but I think that there's still going to remain a lot of unease about the money we're spending there and what the mission is vis-a-vis Afghanistan for quite a long time.
Yeah, and speaking of health care, I'm not sure what Romney would repeal. That's actually his plan. He would repeal that and replace it with what, Folgers crystals? Or I'm not really.
He would repeal it for every state. but Massachusetts.
Where's the exact same plan. And quickly before you go, Ari, the president tonight is going to hold a fundraiser in New York City for gay supporters. Obviously, New York on the verge of marriage equality. How do you think he's going to play that issue?
Well, the question is, Obama's Darwinian process of evolution on this issue, people are wondering when he's finally going to evolve.
Entirely, yes.
This is obviously pure politics. Everyone knows he is for gay marriage. The question is when he's just going to come out and say it. And I think states like New York and people like Andrew Cuomo, who are positioning gay marriage as a political winner, are going to continue to put more pressure on him to come out for marriage equality. And so the momentum is clearly moving in that direction. The question is, will Obama get in front of it, or will he be in another White House term, continue to lead from behind?
Right, except that, you know, you have to also make the argument, Ari, that he absolutely quantitatively has gotten far more done on gay rights than any president in our history.
Well, absolutely, and no one is arguing that he hasn't. The question is, you have to hold him to his own standards. So, I mean, he talks about this evolution, and people are just wondering, okay, well, if you've done all these other things, then why aren't you okay with gay marriage? It strikes people as more of a political than an actual policy argument. So, I mean, he has to sort of come down one place or another. I think the evolving argument isn't making anyone particularly happy.
Yeah, although if the alternative is Michelle Bachmann.
No, and that's why, and that is why you're seeing, you know, a lot of support from the gay community. Yeah. I mean, it's been one of there's been a lot of unease in that community in the last 2 years, but at this point in time, people are relatively happy with where the president is, and if he just moved a little further,
right,
then he would be the undisputed champion of that movement. He's not there yet, but I think he'll get there relatively soon.
Let's hope. Ari Berman, always a delight. Thank you so much, sir. Ari
Thanks
Berman
a lot. I appreciate
from
it.
The Nation. There he goes. And herding donkeys. Pick it up. My favorite part of the Taibbi article, Jim, is where she's crouched in the bushes, hiding during a gay rights rally. You can see the picture. Which, ironically, we would think if you're homophobic, you would not hide in a bush at a gay rights rally. She's very lesbianophobic. Okay. You know, in the Sexy Liberal Show, even a woman of my advanced years, Rick, I actually do a reenactment that's very physical of Michelle Bachmann thinking she's being assaulted by angry lesbians in a bathroom.
Let's have a look at it.
I'm still bruised from the performance in Minneapolis. Can you see that? Ustream, I have a bruise from my...
Chris Matthews thinks she's hot and has a huge chance.
Oh, boy. Fair enough.
Oh, boy.
Got a thing on my leg.
There's firecrackers going on around her.
Wow. All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back with Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. John in Chicago. Welcome. Hi, John.
Hi. How you doing?
Hi. Good. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I just think Obama needs to come out with another stimulus package, which was an absolutely, totally strict buy American only policy, and he needs to make an issue and tell the Republicans, "I dare you to take out the buy American in favor of corporate freedom." You know, and we need to be like green energy focused or something, because that's a lot of blue collar people back to work doing.
But John, the problem, you know, as great an idea as that is, I mean, the problem is the president barely got through the stimulus we did when we controlled Congress. Now, now you've got a, you know, totally Republican controlled Congress, and it's Schumer and Durbin were saying, I mean, the only thing they care about is the president not getting reelected. They don't want the economy to get better. I mean, it's you know. All right, Chris, could you take your organ out for me? Rick Overton, when you were talking about, you were at my party last Sunday for our friend Shelley Wright, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, and of Faith in America, her organization.
Right.
It's to prevent religious bigotry against gay and lesbian people. Interesting, New York. So we may know, Chris, by tomorrow, right? Today they may vote on marriage equality in New York, which is
right.
Huge. But it, the headline is New York marriage talks weigh gay rights and religion. And this is what's, you know, where they're butting heads. Will the Knights of Columbus be required to open their halls for gay weddings? Oh, dear God. Will Catholic adoption agencies be forced to choose between placing children with gay couples or leaving the business? As New York moves closer to a vote on legislation that would make it sixth largest state to allow same-sex marriage, some Republicans want stronger legal protections for religious organizations that object to the practice. In other places around the country that allow gay marriage or civil union, some Catholic adoption agencies have shut down. At least one religious organization lost its tax-exempt status over the issue. The New York bill would protect clergy who refuse to perform weddings for gay couples, a provision common in other states. I mean, it seems to me there's a way to respect religion and your views and people's equal rights, isn't there?
Absolutely. And here's the thing, is religion has turned into an industry, a building where you got to keep the lights on.
Right.
And the problem with gay people is they don't make tomorrow's customers for that building. That is the bottom line when the doors are closed and the brandy gets out and they don't have to wear all their fancy religion clothing. This is what they talk about, is how are we going to make another generation of this if there's not anyone manufacturing our customers? It's all business to the top end. They don't want the average guys knowing that.
What business wants
the average guy knowing everything a business does?
Right. It's just like we need to protect your bigotry. You know, I mean, it's like when they were talking about don't ask, don't tell and implementing it, you know. No, it's like, no, we don't need to accommodate your bigotry. You need to, get with the program. And I mean, it's
a numbers game. Once there becomes more people saying knock it off than people saying you must follow all our rules, it has to change. It's just the amount of people that do it. And that's where you're helping get the message out.
Right.
So there's more people on the other side who get it.
All right. Other breaking news on it's Winklevossian news. I don't know why I just like the Winklevoss twins.
Winklevoss.
Winklevoss. The
Saturday morning cartoon character.
The pretty Rowy boys. Cameron and Tyler Winklevoss.
Yeah.
Which one is which? I don't know. I cannot tell which Winklevoss.
They are lost in the woods. We must follow the cookies home.
And who wants to row that much, really? They have decided not to appeal to the Supreme Court of ruling upholding a $65 million cash and stock settlement reached with Facebook.
Wow.
Man.
So, yeah. You can live on that these days almost anywhere.
Wow. That's a lot of rowboats.
You know, after getting everything I ever wanted in my life and every investment that keeps me going and all my generations after me going perfectly, and then taxes, I'm screwed.
Exactly. George Clooney is single again. Everybody's
what?
Good, but I know it. So now I have a shot.
You going to fly to Italy to watch him playing basketball?
Sure. Oh, I actually went. He's referring to that. I did actually physically climb the fence behind George Clooney's house to watch him play basketball shirtless with his friends.
I hike past there all the time.
Yeah, yes, you know where I'm talking about.
We ain't gonna, don't tell everybody.
No, don't.
It's just somewhere in the woods. You're never going to find it. All right, don't try. Somewhere in the woods of Northern California.
Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is making $130 million, Jim, from his NBC deal,
which is huge. That's huge. Yeah. But not for me, but for normal people, that's huge.
Well, that's over 2 years, so it's not that much.
Oh, 2 years. Well,
2 years.
Yeah.
We don't have 2 years, according to, the 2012 Mayan calendar.
No. When is that now? When has it been rescheduled for, the rapture?
December. No, that's not the rapture.
This is
the Mayan.
It's the Mayan thing. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Good.
December of 2012.
Oh, Squeezy, this story's for you. Katy Perry on her giant breasts.
Oh, really?
See? She tells Rolling Stones her pre-puberty pleas for curves and cleavage were amply answered, and she soon regretted it. God answered that prayer above and beyond by like 100 times, and I was like, please stop, God. I can't see my feet anymore. Please stop. Perry's solution, she started taping them down.
Wow.
Which could be a job for you.
I'll be the breast wrangler.
Okay. the breast whisperer. Hey, speaking of jobs, James Cameron is his Avatar sequels. He's going to film the sequels here in the U.S., create hundreds of jobs for Americans.
Wow.
I'm around, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that, but I helped sell MoCap. It was me, Bobcat Goldthwait, and Scott... Thompson from the Kids in the Hall, and Tom Kinney. We were the four guys that wore the earliest version of the suit and sold it to backers.
Really?
Doing comedy skits as mocap characters.
Wow. So by the way, on the subject, he may do a Terminator sequel. He is sticking by his star, Arnold, despite his recent unpleasantness.
They did not terminate me. I was very happy that they did not terminate me.
That's right. I have bladder problems. I'll be right back.
Come on, they have to change it to Sperminator, though, don't they? I mean, it used to just be a joke, and now it's really getting through.
Yeah.
I'm going to breed a new generation.
All right. Rick Overton, you've got something to plug real quick.
That's
before
right.
we go.
Saturdays on CBS at 8 o'clock. Set your DVR if you're out and partying and playing. It's called Chaos, and it's an awesome show. It's kind of like the CIA, the unit meets MASH. So even though it's like CIA, it's like the Valerie Plame, the cool CIA, the Don McGovern CIA. So check it out. It's fun and smart. And righteous, and
check
it's
out. All
great.
Right.
And I'm in it.
We love you. Well, that says it all. Rick Overton, everybody. I'd like to thank Chris Lloyd, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For tell.
I may make you feel that I can't make you think.